If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And so what? Yeah, okay.
It frustrates you to constantly aim for humoring yet miss so dramatically.
Is it? I mean, is it? Do you guys? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Leave the comedy to the professionals.
Checking one. Checking one. God. Goddamn. Check. Checking. Check. Fuck. Check. Pan. Check one. Pan. Checking. Pan.
Boy, you sure know your comedy.
I realize you guys are funnier when I smoke a fat ass bowl.
Smoking marijuana to blow your mind is like throwing sand in a delicate machine.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Does anybody have any drugs?
Just like the other one.
You got any weed?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No problems, man.
What was that?
Roll another one.
How stoned are you two?
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about.
I'm looking to score some drugs.
I don't have another cent.
Marijuana is delicious.
But don't bogart that joint.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Just pass it around.
Marijuana is delicious.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Smoke weed.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I love get high.
Our feature presentation.
I wish that was his position.
That would be great.
I would be so happy with that.
Dude, he's 48. You don't think he loves to get high? Come on.
Oh, that would be so. But if he came out and, you know, the reporter's trying to trap him and, isn't it true, Mr. Obama, that you, and he goes, yeah, you know what? Just got high this morning. Really like it.
He did write in his book that he smoked pot in college. And it didn't seem like once he came out and admitted it that it turned into a big issue. It's only the people who deny it,
yeah.
Bill Clinton, that
yeah.
those are the people who get in trouble for it.
Because you think they're lying.
Yeah,
that's
right. And that was how many years ago? I do think we're evolving slowly on that issue.
I hope.
I mean,
that
how
would
many
be
people
so great.
At his age now didn't do that in college?
Oh. Just a minute, reporters. I'm going to be right back. I got to go get high. I'm really having a hard time with this press conference. I'll be right back.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
You're right, Lisa. Most people at least tried it out because it was being done. Whether they, you know, turn into full-born potheads or not is a different story. But at least Barack said he did it. Didn't seem to kill him.
Yeah. No. You think he has them on him right now? Honestly.
Is he holding? Is Barack holding?
Is he holding?
I don't know.
Or maybe he's a security guard holding.
Sure. Yeah. That's how I do it.
Got a source that travels with him.
And then he says, you know, if I move my hand up to my neck and rub it, that's a sign to meet me in a restroom with a joint.
Start rolling.
All right. I meant to get to this story yesterday. Didn't have time. And I don't want anyone to misinterpret this as me suggesting that this is a good thing to do or that it's funny. Okay? So you won't hear me laughing about it. But there's been a problem. What's the community called? Willowbrook. I'm unfamiliar with Willowbrook. But apparently it's near the K-Rock Studios. It's
yes.
near Compton.
Okay.
And they've had a big problem with the taggers over there, like so much urban blight in Southern California. The taggers. And by the way, I still don't get the taggers. I still don't get the thrill of that. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But they've had a big problem, and they've had, I mean, it's really turned violent. I mean, there was a, you know, there's a woman who was stabbed to death recently for, you know, yelling at the taggers. They took care of her. And then there was another dude that was shot for the same thing.
Or maybe they were telling them to stop and they didn't
yes,
like it.
Yes, oh, exactly. Yeah. So there's taggers the other day who have a six-year-old that comes across them. All right. A six-year-old comes up to them and sees them tagging. So they spray paint them. So they tag the kid.
Oh, I did hear that story. Yeah. I didn't know why he got sprayed.
Is the kid okay?
The kid is okay.
Okay, then that's really funny.
The boy's mother found him covered in paint and crying. This happened on June 25th.
But this kid...
They tagged a kid, though.
The kid wasn't trying to stop him or didn't say, what are you doing or anything.
He probably said, what are you doing?
I don't know if kids are that bold, you know. And
well,
not...
here's the story for the Times. A teenage gang member was arrested Wednesday for allegedly spray painting the face and body of a six-year-old boy who saw him vandalizing a wall, authorities said. Another teenager allegedly restrained the child while a 15-year-old who was arrested sprayed him with blue paint.
Is that illegal?
I can't imagine. I think it is. They caught one of the guys.
But what kind of charge is it?
It's sort of assault.
There can't be don't paint people on the books, can it? Go through the legislature?
I used to do that all the time when I worked in the promotions department. I used to paint kids' faces all the time.
People paint their own faces for sporting events.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an assault.
Is it?
Assault with paint?
You could probably hurt someone.
Is there a charge of assault with paint?
That guy was arrested. One of the guys was arrested, so clearly...
Well, maybe the guy was arrested for holding the kid. Maybe that
here,
was...
Here it is, by the way. The 15-year-old, arrested on suspicion of kidnapping. I guess that's restraining the kid, maybe, or having the kid restrained. Assault with a caustic chemical.
There's a charge.
Assault with a caustic chemical.
And felony vandalism for the tagging. So
wow.
So I guess what we're saying
felony
is...
Felony human vandalism for the kid.
Don't do that. Don't spray paint kids, I think is what we're saying. And again, it's not funny. I don't want anyone to misinterpret. Yes, I don't bring it up because it's funny. It's not funny.
Poor little kid, he's traumatized.
It's quite funny, first of all.
That would be terrible.
And second of all, it's quite funny. I tried to go, I shouldn't tell that story because Bean hates it. I tried to go cow tipping one time.
Oh, yeah.
That's sad.
Or because cows fall asleep standing up. So if you sneak up to them, you can just push on them and they'll just fall right over.
Oh.
And we were out in the middle of the field in Iowa. Just out in the middle of nowhere, pitch black, midnight, all the cows were awake. We were so upset. We got so angry.
Couldn't tip one?
No.
Ah.
It is...
We painted its ears silver. We just wanted the farmer to come out and go, what is happening?
It is very tough for me to ever catch my cows asleep, by the way. Very tough. I don't know if they sleep with their eyes open or what the deal is, but you almost never see it.
Sons of bitches. Bean's running around with his pants down trying to find one, and no.
Oh, how dare
not,
you.
Not to be found.
They don't really need to sleep that much because they don't really expend any energy.
That's true.
But everyone's got to sleep. But everyone's got to sleep, though.
I guess. Maybe they just catch a minute here, a minute there, but they're kind of awake. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep my cows alive more than anything at this point. That's what I've been working on full time.
Bean's got the dying zoo at his house. And
he really
it's
does.
Very sad.
It is the summer of death. I've lost two pets already this year and a third still to come this weekend.
They are just literally praying for the sweet release of death to get away from Bean.
Or the other perspective is I've had them all for so long that they're all incredibly old.
Oh,
I had a vet out here the other day, and we were talking about the aging zoo. Which, by the way, is they're playing. I believe they're playing the festival this weekend,
yes.
Which is very exciting. And I said, look at my piggies up there. They were up and they were running around. They were eating and they were in the pond and they were having the time of their lives. I said, those guys are 11. I mean, how long are they going to live? And she said, yeah, pig of that breed, that size, they should make it to 8.
Oh,
so
my.
It was hard to feel, it's hard to feel bad. I mean, of course, they're going to lose them at some point, but they are 11. Their life expectancy is around 8.
That's an upper vet right there. The vet, hey, they're all going to die. Right,
well,
back. There's my bill.
That's the reality.
Here's my bill. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday the 11th of Do You Like It in the Ass?
Will you embrace my big fat ass?
On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we got the movie beat. Ralph will be here to tell you about all the new movies.
Okay.
As it is Friday.
What's the biggie this weekend?
Hellboy 2, I think. For me.
Hellboy 2? Yeah. All
that's
right.
The one I'm most excited about.
Is Journey to the Center of the Earth? That's not
yes.
this weekend?
Yes.
I don't know.
That's this weekend, too.
Yeah.
That's more for kids, though, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's for everyone, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to Hellboy 2 because he's got that one giant rock right hand, left hand, just a weeny little normal hand.
I heard a review from Kenneth Tran from the LA Times this morning.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I don't think so. Really?
Tran.
All right, it doesn't matter. Anyway.
It's Turan.
Oh, Turan.
Mike.
No, big thumbs up. Love
yes,
Hellboy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
If it's his right hand, it's a big thumbs up.
No, not Hellboy.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Also on the show today from Hellboy, we have Selma Blair.
Oh, great.
She lights on fire, don't you know?
Sure.
So we're going to talk to her on the phone. We can't risk it here.
Yeah, we
the whole
go
studio
up
could
flames.
Go up.
Yeah, too much flammable stuff.
We are going to introduce you to perhaps the best internet TV show type thing. It's not really a TV show, but it's their episodes. And there are about 10 or 11 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's The Retarded Policeman.
He has all three major kinds of retardation.
And it's funny. And it's a retarded guy and his friend who do this. And the retarded guy is in on it and plays the role. And they have actors. And it's unbelievable.
It's really,
really
funny.
Unbelievable. You go to Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com and go to Internet Roundup.
Okay.
And you'll see a bunch of links for this. The Retarded Policeman. That's all I care about today. Well, that and Doto.
Are we talking to Doto today?
Yes.
For sure.
He finally gave up a telephone number.
So is he still overseas?
The number is an overseas number. He did not expand upon where he is or what he's doing or why. We have many questions for our boy when we finally get him on the horn.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Bald-faced lie.
He has been fascinating lately, hasn't he?
Yeah. And if you want to
know,
if you want to celebrate the toe leading up to the interview at 7:30, you got to go to K-Rock and Kevin and Bean page and videos, and we have the Doto cribs.
Oh, that's well worth
it. And that's
it,
where Psycho Mike goes to his house and finds a drawer of panties and finds a couple of knives in a bag hidden behind an air conditioner, and Doto says he has no idea what that's about. Spectacular.
Here's Mike putting the moves on Doe.
Speaking of parties, let me say you and I have a little private party right now.
Come on, Mike.
What?
No private parties.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you there's a pretty cool party in your pants.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Ooh, burn.
Mike does make it a point with every cribs that he records to get in the shower with the person,
right.
Whoever it is. Tell your thoughts on Mike.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Yeah.
Exactly.
VH1 Rock Honors taped this weekend. They are honoring The Who, and you got your Foo Fighters and Incubus and
Flaming Lips,
Ween,
Pearl Jam.
No, Ween.
Flaming
I don't think
Lips,
it's Ween.
Pearl
I think
Jam.
It's Flaming Lips and Pearl Jam are the other bands.
I also believe Tenacious D is going to perform.
Are they?
Really?
Oh, great. Oh, that's great.
But they're honoring Who?
Hey!
Nicely done. See, because it's The Who, people. Yeah. So Bean says they're honoring Who, and it's
every
a rhetorical
day.
Question.
Every day.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Never gets tired of that. He
Not
can do
one
that
time,
every
ever.
Day.
Not one time,
And
ever.
You said it in the beginning, by the way, in order to circumvent that,
yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
No.
Yeah. Speaking of Incubus, we have Mike Einzinger in the studio.
Oh.
Best, one of the best afros in rock.
That is correct. So that's coming up. We got the grand prize for the helicopter to the Mayhem Festival, which is going to be pretty fantastic. You get to take a helicopter to the Mayhem show, and you get to hang out backstage with Disturbed. So we're going to give that grand prize away at 7:15.
And Psycho Mike apparently going along on the ride in both directions on the helicopter.
That is the downside.
You are?
Yeah.
You have to ride with Mike.
Why are we making them go with you?
I don't know. It sucks, huh? That's like kind of like giving a good appetizer and a horrible entree.
Yeah. What? We just want to make sure they don't have fun?
Any concerns about taking that helicopter ride, Mike?
No, not at all, actually.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm sure Stevie Ray Vaughan didn't see it coming either, but I was just wondering. I was just...
Yeah, good point.
Just curious.
Yeah, but you had to go back, 40 years for that, right?
Did you guys set this up?
It was in the early 90s. Is when he died.
What's that?
Did you guys set this up? Is this all a big ploy?
I don't know anything about it.
It's going to be like a blind dude flying the helicopter.
Yeah, there's actually nobody winning tickets.
Yeah, you're being
punked. Just going to make up a name
this whole thing
and then
you're
going to show up and it's just you.
Guys hammered.
We're going to put you in a helicopter. You're going to think it's to go to Mayhem, and they're going to take you out into the middle of the Mojave and then just let you loose.
Am I going to Douchebag Lake?
Maybe. Maybe. He's catching on. Damn. All right. It's 5:44. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51.
Why is everybody laughing?
Oh, never you mind, Junior.
Ralph was having a...
the grown-ups are talking.
Ralph was having a fight with his headphones. He could not...
not cooperate.
They had a mind of their own. They wanted to strangle him.
Yes.
Ralph, you understand that
They're
today...
Not alone, by the way.
Today you get to meet one of your heroes. The retarded policeman himself is going to be here in our studio.
Pots Man!
Oh, the Pots Man.
Are you so excited?
You know I've got aspirations of acting. You know, I consider myself a wee bit of an actor.
Right.
You used to.
Right. Before this guy.
Before you gave up when your dreams were crushed.
Before you crushed my soul. Right.
Right.
But if I can have one goal in life, if I could have one achievement, if I could...
It would be to be retarded?
Get one role. Well, I've semi-achieved that role already. I would like to throw my hat into the ring with the casting director of Retarded Policeman to see if I could appear in an episode as one of the...
I like it.
One of the drivers of the cars that the retired policeman pulls over. I don't know who I have to talk to audition for such a role.
Maybe the creator who's coming in today.
I don't think that would work.
No. Oh, okay.
I don't think he has any pull over there.
What about the Ponce Man?
Maybe the Ponce Man. If I can get the Ponce Man's approval, maybe we can co-star in an episode together. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I could probably say, all right, you know what? I can put that dream aside now because I've acted with Al Pacino,
right?
Adam West. We did a TV show together. And the Ponce Man.
That's a pretty. That's pretty impressive.
That's my triumvirate.
That's a full career right there. That's all you need.
That's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost of acting for me right there.
It really is.
That's AFI Achievement Award time right there. If you get to pull all three of those off.
There will be a black tie dinner in my honor at some point.
All right, 5:52 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, remember how I told you that the Canadian policeman saved David Lee Roth's life by pulling him over when he went into shock because he had eaten some nuts that he was allergic to?
Yeah. Yes.
And he was speeding along the highway in Ontario, and Canadian police pulled him over and saved his life by getting paramedics onto the scene and getting him out of anaphylactic shock.
Right.
That's a lie.
What?
David Lee Roth released the following statement to TMZ.com yesterday saying, I was in Canada only from July 1st through the 4th for a performance at the Quebec City Summer Festival. I had no encounters or incidents with the police. The only thing I'm allergic to is criticism. Love, David Lee Roth.
So it's not a lie that he got pulled over for that. It's a lie that he got pulled over.
That incident never happened. Now, TMZ's confused because they say the story that the incident took place was fueled by actual interviews with two Canadian police officers last week.
What?
So either there's a dude in Canada that looks a lot like David Lee Roth, or these guys are just having a song. So I will continue to get to the bottom of this story until we have an answer.
That's a bizarre story.
It is. So either Dave is saying, either it happened and Dave is saying it didn't, or Dave's telling the truth and it didn't happen, and these
police officers.
Canadian police officers are confused.
Huh.
Well, you know the Canadians.
Yeah,
sure. They got a lot of time on their hands.
They do.
Because they got...
You having a laugh? Is he having a laugh?
Aren't you going to see Ricky Gervais soon?
I am.
Was it Friday? Is it Saturday?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Oh,
yep.
God. How about chatting that up a little bit? That leading up to the event a little bit.
Going to see Ricky Gervais,
that's
people.
A big thing. No. Where's he playing? Kodak?
Yeah. He's the guy who founded created The Office, the original Office in England. He's so funny.
And then went on to star in Extras, one of my favorite series, which that clip is from.
Have you seen his stand-up?
I've never seen his stand-up.
Very funny.
I didn't even know he did stand-up.
I didn't either.
I thought he put this together for this tour. I didn't know he had even done stand-up to this point.
I think there's a DVD out of it.
Is it really?
Yeah. He's just amazing.
Well,
very funny.
You'll have to give us a report on that.
His podcasts are among the most popular in the world, and they're great.
They are really good, too, yeah.
They are very, very funny. You know, I'm a collector. I like the collectibles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always interested when I see these stories about showbiz auctions that they have, where they auction off stuff. In this case, it happens to be a rock and roll auction that was had by Christie's, which is a famous auction house. They do a lot of this kind of stuff.
Right.
But John Lennon's handwritten lyrics for Give Peace a Chance... were up for auction yesterday in London.
Mm-hmm.
That's in England.
Yes.
And the Brits like the Beatles. And how much do you think the handwritten lyrics for Give Peace a Chance? Familiar with that song? All we are saying is give peace a chance. How much do you think they went for?
I wouldn't go any higher than $20.
$20.
Yeah.
Very, very close. $843,000.
I was going to guess like $200,000.
$834,000. That's practically $1 million.
God.
Here's the thing that struck me. If you're familiar with the song Give Peace a Chance, here's the song. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All we are saying is give. It's pretty much that over and over and over again on a cocktail napkin. That's what I'm guessing the handwritten lyrics are.
He just wrote that and then put, repeat.
Repeat, rinse, and repeat, he wrote on it.
It does have verses as well, but they're terrible and unmemorable.
Everybody's talking about bagism.
Yeah,
bagism.
Yeah,
that part? Yeah.
What? That's part of a song?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's horrific.
Really is.
Well, almost $1 million went for that. So.
Wow.
It's a piece of paper. It's a guy who put a pen to a piece of paper, and that's worth $1 million. It's not the Declaration of Independence, folks.
Yeah. Actually, making a little bit more in the same auction, another Beatles item. The bass head drum from the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, that album.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Went for $842,000.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's a lot.
It is.
The Beatles continue to capture the public's imagination in ways that nobody could have foreseen all these years later.
It is. It's nuts.
It's pretty stunning.
There's another auction going on here in Los Angeles where they've got the original bat communicator that Adam West used in the TV series.
You're going crazy.
That's not something you'd be interested in.
You hitting up everybody you know for a loan? And
they're expecting it to go for $12,000.
Oh,
oh, wow.
I'm not a collector, and that seems absurd.
Yeah. What did he use the bat communicator for? Who did Batman talk to on that?
To shave?
Robin. Largely Robin. We talked to Robin
really?
With that.
They,
yeah.
Is it Robin with him?
Not always. Sometimes there's in separate places of the building, you know. And
okay.
Robin, can you hear me? A lot of that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah.
Robin did seem to be within 6 inches of him at all times.
Well, they were the dynamic duo.
I know.
And they were very much in love.
Oh, stop it. Life and Style Weekly magazine reports that Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen are fighting like cats and dogs.
Hey, what?
Listen, Life and Style Weekly, let's just take that as a given. When they stop fighting, then you write something about it and tell us, and that'll be news,
they
okay?
They didn't just discover this, did they?
I don't know. I have no idea. They can't stop arguing about their daughters, Sam and Lola. Okay, right. Yes. God. This is a funny story. Tony Roma's been dating Jessica Simpson for I don't know how many months. And People Magazine asked him what the top three picks on his personal iPod are.
Yeah.
And so Tony says, well, Journeys, Don't Stop Believing. Listen to that all the time. Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine. And something by Jessica Simpson.
Couldn't
come up with one title of a song that she had ever sung.
Because it's a lie.
Because it's a lie, exactly. That's true. Could you think of a Jessica Simpson song?
No, I couldn't for in a million years.
She is not famous, obviously, for her music. We couldn't think of
it.
Being you're the encyclopedia of music.
I think I would recognize one if I saw it, but no song is memorable enough to come to mind.
Her most famous song would be that cover of Nancy Sinatra.
That's the only one.
Boots Are Made for Walking,
yeah.
Right? From the
Dukes of Hazzard.
Hazzard right. soundtrack, but that's not her song.
From the Pizza Hut commercial.
Yeah
right.
So even Tony Homo couldn't come up
that's
with
awesome.
That, which is great.
That's awesome.
Imagine being put on the spot like that, and you know she's going to read it. And
yep.
Something by Jessica Simpson?
He didn't say anything by her?
No.
Like, as if?
Oh, no, wow. It was like he was trying to recall one
man.
Of that. Oh, what's that song I listen to all the time? You know, something by Jessica Simpson.
One of my three favorite songs of all time, which I don't even know the names.
Great.
Here's what Mr. Rad has typed up. Push My Tush, Public Affair, and Spin Me Round. Those are names of her songs.
Nope.
No. Really
nope.
Ring any bells.
Right.
Public Affair is the one with Ava Longoria and Christina Applegate in the video.
Oh, where they're like roller skating or whatever that was?
Yeah,
those titles are bad.
Good video, though.
Songs are bad. Songs are bad, too.
And Brian Austin Green is telling everyone who will listen that his relationship with Megan Fox is solid.
Yeah.
He's a fag.
Nope. He says they're still engaged.
Over.
They're still engaged and everything's copacetic.
Nope.
Has he talked to her lately?
Well, no. But he tells TV Guide that the relationship is solid. He said, we've lived together for 3 years. We even have tattoos of one another's names. Well, that's the kiss of death right there.
Yeah.
The couple has, he says the couple has lots of pets together, including a pig, dogs, two cats, two birds, and a squirrel.
Screw him. That guy. What do you need him for?
You know, I was thinking as I read that list of pets, when it comes time to depopulate the planet,
when
we reach maximum
too
capacity
many people.
And we got to start weeding people out, that's how we should do it, by pets. You say, all right, tell me what kind of pets you have. I have a squirrel. Okay, why don't you get in that line over there? Why don't you get on the carousel? Because lights out
now,
when you own a squirrel.
Would that mean the carousel owe death for bees?
Oh, you kidding me?
Yeah.
He'd be the poster boy for the carousel. Squirrel. Who has a squirrel? Worst pet ever. No, our squirrel's different. Shut up!
It's smart. It's as smart as a dog.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Washes our car.
Gets me a beer.
Did you guys catch any of America's Greatest Dog last night? The new reality series?
No.
The new competition to find America's Greatest Dog?
No.
I watched the first half hour.
What channel?
Literally nothing else was on.
National Geographic or something?
CBS.
CBS?
Oh, no. Yeah, this is summertime programming.
Oh, man. They do good work.
There is nothing on, by the way.
And the fascinating thing is... It really isn't about the dogs, because they did the smart thing, but they picked, like, the widest, craziest selection of pet parents they could find and make them live in a house together. And that's the entertaining part.
Those people is crazy.
Yeah, because the girl who dresses her dog up to match her own outfits every day.
Could you watch that, Ralph, and not be just furious?
Well, it's the bad good. I was screaming at my television set, enjoying myself.
I'm sorry, I missed it. That's my kind of thing.
Dog shows up wearing shoes that she's made for the dog, that kind of thing.
And
one of the other pet parents is petting the dog. Oh, what a nice dog. Goes to pick up the dog, and they cut to interview section with crazy pet parent lady. She goes, all right, this is not going to stand. I hate when people touch my dog. No one else is going to be able to touch my dog. If this was going to happen while I'm living here, we might have a problem.
So they're all living together in a house.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm just saying.
I'm in.
Maybe good times.
Dude. I watched 3 episodes of Hawaii Five-0 yesterday. That's what I did with the summer TV hiatus.
That is a great story.
Well, I'm just saying.
There's nothing on.
You know, I love that show. But
couldn't there be some tangential relationship to what we're talking about?
No, but we were talking about there's nothing on television, so I'm saying that's how I'm filling up my what used to be TV viewing time is catching up on DVDs of shows I like.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Yesterday afternoon, I watched Hellboy again on DVD because I hadn't seen it for a while, so I wanted to get myself all prepped and primed and ready and refreshed for the Hellboy 2 screening I was invited to last night.
Yes.
Watched Hellboy in the afternoon, fell asleep.
Oh.
Didn't make it to the
movie.
Didn't get to Hellboy 2.
Oh, that's a shame.
Didn't get to Hellboy 2. The Golden Showers.
That's funny.
So
I don't think it's Golden Showers.
It's not the Golden Showers.
That'd be the porn version.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry.
The Golden Army.
Oh. Well, I'm not so sad I missed it now.
I rented the Golden Arm, but that was a completely different thing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie's 32 years old today. Michael Rosenbaum, who until recently played Lex Luthor over there on Smallville, who's 36. He left the show, you know.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Come on, Dota. You need Lex Luthor if you're doing Superman.
But he left.
He left. Greg Grunberg of Heroes, alias Felicity, 42 years old today. I love him. He's one of those guys you watch and say, I'd like to have a beer with that dude.
Yes.
He seems like a good fella. Scott Schreiner of Weezer turns 43 years old today. Lisa Rinna of Dancing with the Stars and Days of Our Lives.
Bell. Dude, she's past her expiration date. I hate to agree with Kevin here, but she really has.
Did you see the episode of Entourage where she seduces them?
Yeah, she's the cougar. She's the
cougar.
All right.
But what about the lips? Don't the lips disqualify her?
Don't get me wrong. I mean, she's made some mistakes, but for Christ's sake, she deserves a bell.
Well, considering the other people Bean gives bells to, I guess we better.
She was the lips before Angelina Jolie was the lips. She was the original set of sexy, big, pouty lips.
Right.
She may be leaning a little bit too heavily on that trademark now these days, but still, you got to give her some credit. 45 years old today. Celia Ward, another attractive older lady, is 52 years old today. You remember her from House most recently. And Mindy Sterling from Austin Powers turns 55. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look, we show up every day at the crack of ass, and we give and we give and we give. And we do the best job we can to present a radio program for you every single morning. And rarely do we ask for anything in return. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, how often do we go to the audience and say, we need your help on something?
Rarely.
Okay, well, this is going to be one of those occasions. We need your help on something because we have put our collective brain trust, which you put all of us together in a room. We got an IQ of about 75, and we can't crack this one. We can't figure out what the hell is going on with magazines like OK that are paying millions of dollars for celebrity baby photos. What is the return on their investment? How do they get people to buy magazines of pictures of infants?
It's got to be women, right? And it's got to be women with kids?
Well, I guess, but who cares about other people's kids, first of all? And second of all, I don't care how famous the parents are. All of the babies are interchangeable. Why would you ever go out and buy a copy of a magazine? Like Ralph reported yesterday that Matthew McConaughey and his girlfriend made a $3 million deal with OK for pictures of their kid. How can you possibly care what his kid looks like? And how can it look any different than anybody else's kid?
But given that this is not the first time it's happened, they must make their money back, which means people must buy way more of that magazine when they're on the cover.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine who.
I can't either. And this is why we need your help, K-Rock audience, at 1-800-520-1067. Right now, if you do it or know why people do it, we can't figure it out. Listen to this. Matthew McConaughey and his girlfriend Camila Alves, $3 million. Ralph reported that yesterday. We also told you this week that Jamie Lynn Spears made a deal with OK for $1 million for her new baby. Now, this morning it comes out that Jessica Alba and Private Eye Cash Warren are selling baby pictures of their kid, Honor Marie Warren, for $1.5 million.
My God.
Now, look, Jessica Alba's a pretty girl. Matthew McConaughey's a good-looking dude. Their babies are identical, though, right? How? I mean, if you've seen one of them, you've seen them all. How could you go out and buy this magazine? What's the deal?
Yeah, it's not like they're 2 and 3, and you can kind of see personality, and you can. They're babies,
I guess,
and
it's seeing the couple together with their kid. You know, if it was just a picture of the baby, obviously it wouldn't be nearly as valuable. But seeing them together as a family for the first time, and
really, would you buy that? Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't go?
No. No.
Look,
not at all.
If Jessica Alba lost the baby weight and was in Maxim, I would pay money to buy that magazine. But I don't care about seeing her in Cash and Honor. I don't care about that. Now listen to this. Here's the grandfather or granddaddy or grandsomething of all baby photos. Angelina and Brad, who haven't had their twins yet, those photos are expected to fetch between $10 and $15 million.
No.
That's not true.
Oh, my God.
That's
no,
not true.
No, that can't be.
That
no,
isn't
you
true.
Can't sell enough magazines to recover that.
It's not true.
Well, let's find out when they're finally born, what they sell them for. Of course, Angelina has sold baby pictures before and always gives the money to charity, so I don't know if that makes people pay more. But $10 to $15 million for pictures of their twins?
How many magazines How many magazines would you have to sell to make that up?
No, well, it's got to be the cachet of having the pictures and getting your magazine's name out more than you're going to make it up for
those.
So you're
going to take a loss, but
particular. Yeah, exactly. But you hope that more people discover you through that.
Who are you people that buy these?
Let's go to kids are completely interchangeable. I'm right about that. Kevin, you've had kids, right?
Yeah, and
they're interchangeable.
And I worship my children. But other people's kids, and by the way, mine too, when they're first born, they look like a tiny little firstborn baby.
Right.
Just like everybody else's. That's the point. Like
you go to the nursery in the hospital, and they got to show you which one it is.
Yes.
Yours.
They
you
have to point to the, they go, oh, it's in there. And you go, well, which one? I can't tell the difference.
No.
It's the black one, right? Please tell me it's the black one.
Oh. You hope.
All right. Let's go to Crystal at Artesia. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning.
Do you buy these magazines with the baby pictures on them?
I sometimes do. My mom does, and I have a tendency of looking at them after she buys them. Yes, I'm guilty.
So what is it?
I think it's that as normal people like to be reassured that celebrity babies look just as freakishly normal as our babies do.
All right, but do you spend a lot of time worrying about that? I mean,
I don't think I spend a lot of time worrying about it. When I see it, if I'm at the grocery store and they're on the cover, maybe I tend to buy it.
You do.
But why would you think that a celebrity baby would look any different from a non-celebrity baby? I mean, they are still human beings.
I don't think that they do look different. I think I just want to be reassured that they are just as normal as my own babies.
Wow, you know what? We have a song for you, Crystal, if you don't mind.
Girls who buy magazines to make sure that their kids are normal just like celebrity babies are.
There you go. Thank you, Dick Whiskey.
But Crystal, let me ask you one more follow-up question. Okay, sure. Let's say you had that abnormal fear that somehow celebrity babies were better than your babies. But once you saw the first celebrity baby 10 years ago or however long ago, then how can you keep going back to that? Well, like why? I mean, you know that's not going to change. You've answered the question. How can you continue to look at these babies?
It's human nature. I don't know.
Because Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's baby, come on. They are better than other people's babies. Let's be honest.
I think we have a song for you, Lisa.
Lisa May, who believes that Brad Pitt's baby's better than anybody's, is a whore.
That is the quickest turnaround.
It is, yes. Very quickly done.
But I mean, let me ask, well, let's go to Matt. Let's talk to Matt real quick, and then I've got a question. Matt in Baldwin Park on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock. You're a dude. Do you look for the baby pictures, or do you have a theory of why dumb women look at baby pictures?
I know I personally don't, but I have a friend of mine that does, and I think the big thing is they do it for collector's items. Like if a celebrity baby is born and it has real famous parents, they grow up. I mean, the baby grows up, it's going to be worth a lot of money if it does something significant or especially if they die.
Have you thought about this, and do you do that?
Well, I personally don't. I think it's pretty lame, and who has that much time and extra money on their hands?
I don't think people go there and see it in the store and think, wow, in 25 years, if this person dies and is famous, I'm going to make some dough. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, but it's that small percentage that actually do that, you know, magazines are worth, you know, tons of money, you know?
I think we have a song for you as well, Matt.
Guys who buy those magazines and then lie about it and blame it on a friend of theirs are whores!
I mean, let's face it. What are the chances that Jamie Lynn Spears' kid is going to be famous?
Unless the baby is freakishly ugly, then I'm interested.
Then you want to see.
Like, if Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have a super ugly baby, come on.
They have a monkey baby, I want to see.
That's funny. But other than that, let's stop it. Stop it.
All right.
I think that's the message of this morning's program is just stop. We got two grand prizes for you on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, we're giving away a helicopter ride, as you know, to the Big Mayhem Festival with Disturbed and Slipknot. We're going to be doing that next hour. You get to go with Psycho Mike. You go backstage. You get to play Rock Band with the band Disturbed. That's a pretty good deal. Also, we're doing the grand prize drawing of something that we mentioned probably not enough on the show this week, and that is the best seat in the house to see the Maloof Money Cup, which is happening at the OC County Fair this weekend, which is the world's greatest skateboarding competition. And I don't remember the discussion, Kevin. You've described it better than I would understand it, but you are actually up in the sky watching it?
Yeah, it's some kind of
a flagpole or something?
It's like a flagpole. There's a tower right in the middle of it. I believe there's a throne, and you have the perfect view from right there.
Wow.
So that's going to be pretty cool. We'll do that grand prize drawing today as well. I don't know if you were paying attention to Ralph Showbiz Beat the other day, but he was talking about the new James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
Worst title ever, right?
Quantum of Solace. I thought it was a joke or a placeholder or whatever. I did see a teaser for it in the movie theater, though.
That's it. They've decided,
and
huh?
It didn't look all that bad. I mean, it looked like a good movie, and you kind of buy the name now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, and I believe Ralph's more of the Bond expert than I am, but I believe it is actually based on a short story written by the guy who created James Bond. I mean, I think it does have its basis in a real James Bond book.
But Ralph's story was that they had finished shooting. Mm-hmm. They had finished the movie and they were just editing. And then they decided they needed to go back and reshoot some scenes because James Bond, Daniel Craig, apparently, according to this report, had too many clothes on. And they think it will draw more women if they shoot him more nude.
Yeah.
He is a sex symbol for the ladies. They do love him.
So they said, let's go back and shoot some of those scenes again, but take off some clothes.
Nice.
So we thought we would talk to one of the original James Bonds, Sean Connery, and find out how he thinks this is going. Good morning, Sean.
Well, good morning, Skip and Steve, the Bobbin brothers. by Bobbin, I mean you've been bobbing on...
Okay.
When you're them.
Okay.
How's the world's largest collection of rings going in your store?
What are you talking about? That's not us.
And you don't sell those diamond rings?
No.
No.
Oh, my mistake.
And they're not gay. They're good. They're good people. They sell good stuff.
Okay.
Clients.
Consider your ass covered now.
Okay, good. Excellent.
All right.
Well, here's the thing, Sean. It's your friends, Kevin and me. We're the radio guys from Los Angeles that call you from time to time because it seems like every week there's a new story about something going on with this latest James Bond movie, and we figure, you know, you might have some insight on it being the original Bond.
Some people have said it's cursed.
It's cursed, yeah. A few people got hurt. Yeah?
Yes, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, you did try to curse it, didn't you?
Well, I don't say it's cursed more than it's
Well, this story today doesn't have anything to do with a bunch of people getting hurt. Daniel Craig is fine, but apparently they have done some reshoots on the new movie because there wasn't enough skin being shown. Producers thought there wasn't enough in the early version to satisfy the female audience for Quantum of Solace.
I've heard that rumor as well, and I just don't think it's true.
You don't think it's true?
No, because I have people on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and they told me they had to do some reshoots because Daniel Craig was on his period.
He's what?
And he looked too bloated. So they had to go back and reshoot it after he out of his
man.
That's so disgusting.
I'm disgusting. You're a woman and you're talking. What's more disgusting than that?
She's allowed to do that in this country.
I am.
Oh, for Christ's sake, don't you guys have a ball gag and a hood you can put on her? And while you're at it, stick a ponytail in her and run her around.
Wow.
Sean, you're a horrible, horrible
You're
man.
A horrible, hateful person.
Yes, I am,
but I've got a huge, fleshy...
So you're saying the report from AbsoluteNow.com that Daniel Craig is going to actually wear less clothing in the reshoots is not true.
Well, it may be true, because I know he's got a huge audience.
Is that right?
Well, women like him, too.
Well, women are attracted to other women. It's like Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Okay.
He should just go around in Manolo Blahnik pumps while he's shooting his gun, because he needs an enormous
This this is very different from the many Bond films that you started, Mr. Connery, yes. where you were really just making it for men, and if women wanted to come see it, that was fine, but that wasn't your target audience.
Well, if women wanted to come see it, I would always say, F*** them.
Wow.
Because it's for men.
Right.
These are movies for men by men.
Mm-hmm.
Until Daniel Craig took over.
Well, I don't think it hurts to have women go as well. I mean, I don't think fewer men are going.
It's not for them.
Okay.
We like your movies.
You're not allowed to.
But what if she does?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Goddamn women to hell.
What is who hurt you?
They're so lucky they've got
Oh, Sean, okay. Come on. Let's not
Seriously,
reduce it to that.
Would you even talk to one of them if they didn't have a If they didn't have a
Don't
soft,
answer that.
Okay.
Place to put your just huge f***ing hard
All right.
Would you even talk to them?
All right, John. We got to go.
Let's go, Alicia. All of us. What do you say, fellas?
Right, now all together.
Bang, bang, bang.
Actress Selma Blair joins us later on this morning from Hellboy 2. Also, Mike Einzinger from the band Incubus. Sam will give you a chance to see Mike and his group in concert for VH1 Rock Honors The Who. Coming up after the news at 7. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Finally, I've got your Olivia Newton-John romance update.
Who?
Olivia Newton-John. We've all been waiting with bated breath to find out how she's doing in her romance with millionaire John Easterling.
Now, she's the one who had that longtime boyfriend that faked his own death to get away from her, right?
So she was able to snare somebody else?
Dude jumped off a boat and said, I'm dead. No one looked for me.
She's like, don't try to find me.
She was trying to find his body for years. Then he turned up in like Costa Rica or something.
With a Mai Tai.
Banging some 14-year-old boy.
It's hard enough to break up, but if your dude tries to fake his own death, how do you go back to anyone else?
Apparently she's gotten over that, and she got married last month. She just announced it yesterday that on June 21st she married businessman John Easterling at a ceremony in Peru. John, sadly, is missing. No, he's still around.
Oh, it's her? Is she like a black widow or something?
He is the founder of Amazon Herbs, which sells botanical supplements from the rainforest. Boy, does that sound like an internet scam.
Does it ever.
Yeah, no
this
kidding.
Will help clear up your skin. It's made from the bark from a tree you can only find deep in the Amazon jungle. She was married, of course, once before to Matt Lattanzi. You remember Matt Lattanzi?
Don't really.
Nope. We used to call him Lapanzi. Me and the guys.
They've got a daughter together who's also a singer. Yeah, Olivia was engaged to Patrick McDermott for 9 years, but he vanished in 2005, only to show up a couple years later.
Isn't engaged at the eighth year a good sign that he is not going to marry you?
Yeah, I guess so.
She, if you don't recognize the name, she was the star of Grease back in the late 70s. Very popular singer at one time.
She was Sandy in Grease, absolutely. Yep. Madonna is looking grizzly these days.
Mm-hmm.
She is. Good description.
She's 50, I guess? She's 50?
Yes, yeah. She's 50.
Yeah. But you know who's also nearly 50? Michael Jackson.
Wow.
And he makes Madonna look like she has never looked better. Yeah. Have you seen the new photos of Michael Jackson in Vegas?
Yes,
in
I have.
A wheelchair being pushed around a bookstore by his bodyguard.
What is his new thing with
walks?
The wheelchair?
Dude is in a wheelchair with like a scarf over his head, those ever-present aviator sunglasses he wears, a baseball cap, in his pajamas and slippers, being pushed around a bookstore. Like freaking Howard Hughes, this guy has just lost it. It's just going around the bend.
I love that.
Now, and what's the surgical mask about? Is he a germaphobe?
Yes. And he also uses it as a disguise, so no one will recognize the Michael Jackson lookalike dude in a surgical mask being pushed around in his pajamas in a wheelchair. He likes to stay low pro.
Either that or he doesn't have a nose.
He's on the DL. No one's sure whether Michael's actually sick or whether he just likes being pushed around in a wheelchair. But bystanders say he seemed too weak to walk on his own. That he kept a surgical mask on the entire time he was shopping. And, my favorite part, his skin was peeling off his body.
Oh my God.
Dude is becoming Brundlefly.
I don't know what that is.
You ever seen the movie The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, but I don't remember much
about it. Jeff Goldblum's a scientist, right? And he's created this transporter pod where it's going to revolutionize transportation. You'll get in, it's like Star Trek. You get in this booth on one side and
You show up in the booth on the other side. Yeah. You get transported, right? But when he's experimenting on it with himself, a fly accidentally gets into the transporter with him, and it fuses their DNA. So through the rest of the movie, he starts to turn into a human fly, and bits and pieces start falling off him, and he gets wings and goofy big bug eyes and whatnot.
You're right. That's what's happened
to Michael Jackson. Somehow a fly got into his transporter pod, and now he is transforming into some creature we haven't seen the end of yet. But
I wonder if, not that he would take any advice, he's pretty much carving out his own path, but if a guy like Dr. Drew had total access to Michael Jackson, you think he could save him?
Nope.
No.
I think this started at such a young age for Michael Jackson. This is all he's ever known of his life. Yeah. He crazy.
Yeah, he's
he crazy.
He's tragic. More tragic news. Brian Austin Green is claiming that he's still engaged to Megan Fox.
No.
The former
that guy. What do you need him for?
Former 90210 actor tells TV Guide that the relationship is solid. I want to bring solid back.
Solid?
Yeah. Remember how King of Mexico brought Rad back?
Uh-huh.
I want to bring back solid.
I want to bring back righteous.
Solid, man. Solid. They've lived together for 3 years. He says they're never been better. They have tattoos of one another on their bodies, and they have a lot of pets, including a pig, dogs, two cats, two birds, and a squirrel.
Squirrel.
I'm guessing the squirrel's Brian's.
I'm guessing you don't have a squirrel pet.
Honey, is it okay if I keep the squirrel? Sure, honey. Just keep me.
Yeah, you probably just leave nuts in your yard.
Wait a minute.
He's Put got your own the joke. Squirrel. She's got the beaver. Yes.
You're happy with that?
That is so nice.
Did you say yes after that?
Look at him walking around pumping his fist like he just scored a goal in overtime in the Stanley Cup Finals.
How are you not walking out of the studio with your head hung low? Uh-huh.
Are you not quitting? You're not just quit.
What the hell?
You say something like that, you have to be thinking to yourself, I'm not going to talk anymore the rest of the day because I have shamed my show and the audience.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
An inside source from Dancing with the Stars tells us via the New York Daily News that Lance Bass of NSYNC will be appearing on the next season of the show.
No! God damn it, no!
Didn't he promise us he was going into outer space?
He was going to go in a shuttle or something. He was going to go with the Russians.
Whatever happened to that plan? Whatever plan to shooting him off the face of our planet?
I'll tell you what happened to it. He wanted somebody else to pay for it. That's what happened to it. He would not pony up the $20 million.
I'll pay for it. I just need him not to be on my planet any longer.
Gay wad.
Producers are still deciding whether to pair him with a guy or a girl on Dancing with the Stars. Wait and see.
He's a total gay lord.
Rumors are swirling that Jennifer Garner is once again pregnant. Sources tell the National Enquirer that she and husband Ben Affleck are expecting their second child and that she's 3 months along. Word on whether it's true or not, but that's the rumor. Look, from all I can tell about Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck, the kind of parents that they are, and the incredible beauty of the child that they produce, I think they should be responsible for repopulating the planet when we go down, whatever happens. Just keep her pregnant. Just keep pumping her up. Because they seem like terrific parents, and they just make beautiful children together. Yeah. They could be the beginning of the master race.
Really?
That's what I'm saying, those two.
I don't think anyone's looking for that, but okay.
Hey, look, don't knock the master race.
The master race, just that term makes some people nervous.
You think?
Really? Forget the past, people. Let's move forward.
Let it go?
Yeah.
Just let it go?
All right. And Metallica's offering up some very cool goodies for their new album. If you go to Metallica.com, you'll see that they are offering a very special edition of their new CD, Death Magnetic. It will be available as a limited edition disc in a special coffin box.
A coffin box?
It'll come in a coffin. It'll come with a CD of demos for the album, a behind-the-scenes DVD, a T-shirt, a Metallica flag, a series of Metallica guitar picks, and a poster.
Wow.
F*** everybody! F*** your mom, die, F*** your mom, die, F*** your mom, die, F*** your mom, yeah.
That was a Slayer show.
Over a T-shirt.
That was a Slayer show we were at, that guy.
Plus, if you act now, you'll get a special Metallica credit card with a secret code that will allow you to download an upcoming European concert in September off the website.
All right.
And as a special bonus... The new album will actually be in the box as well as all this other stuff.
How about that?
So you got everything.
Have you heard the song that's been leaked on the internet from that?
The new Metallica song?
Yeah.
No.
How great is male ass?
Going a bit of a different way, but you can't question Rick Rubin. He knows what he's doing. Back to you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lil' Kim. Rapper Lil' Kim
Yeah.
Is 33 years old today. I got a very angry email from a woman who claimed to be Little Kim's number one fan.
Uh-oh.
Saying, how could you not talk about her birthday? Doesn't she deserve some respect?
Her
some
one
props?
Fan listens to
That's
our
what
show?
I said. How, I wrote back, how are you not listening to Big Boy? What are you doing listening to our? You cannot be the number one fan listening to Kevin and Bejo. Just not humanly possible.
We appreciate you listening, but don't call yourself the number one fan.
Because you're not fooling anybody.
Right.
Anyway, Lil' Kim's 33 years old today. Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie is 32. Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor on Smallville for many years, is 36. Greg Grunberg from Hero. Elliot. And Felicity is 43 years old today. Scott Schreiner of Weezer turns 43 years old today. Richie Zambora from John Bon Jovi's band Bon Jovi is 49. Celia Ward is 52. And Lisa Rinna from Dancing with the Stars and Days of Our Lives is 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We all week long have been giving away tickets for this VH1 Rock Honors The Who. It is finally here this weekend. Taping tomorrow night. It will air on VH1 next Thursday night. We're talking about Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, Incubus, Flaming Lips, and The Who all on one big bill, all doing Who songs. And we have the final pair of tickets on the Kevin and Bean Show to give away right now.
And I want to thank VH1 for honoring me and giving me so many good job patbacks.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
This is not for you. This is for the Who.
Exactly.
The Who is a band.
That's what I said.
Wait.
What?
No,
what is the Minister of Defense? Huang Sahuat.
Who is giving away the tickets to our listeners this morning?
I absolutely am.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, President Hu, our favorite Communist Party leader, is here from the Great Republic of China.
Thank you, everyone. To give
away tickets for you.
Everyone come to Olympics this year. Everyone come to our country. Come see Olympics. And now, just for you, we're not serving dog.
I understand that you've taken that off the menu.
Off the
new game
menu.
Is called, ladies and gentlemen, Who or Foo?
I would have him killed in my country, but that's just me.
He would have been killed?
Yeah, because they don't have any right.
So Who or Foo is the game, and you're going to tell us some lyrics, and then the listener just has to tell us whether it's The Who and then what the name of the song is, or The Foo Fighters and what the name of the song is.
So these lyrics will be, are you trying to tell me that these lyrics will be either from a Who or a Foo Fighter song?
Correct, Mr. President.
And the person on the phone has to identify what band it is and the name song?
I think it's unclear. Bean, can you help us out?
No, what you have the totally wrong, President. Okay. What happens is you're reading lyrics, and the listener will tell us what the name of the band is, whether it's The Who or Foo Fighters, and what the name of the song is. If they're right, then they go into the drawing to win the tickets to see both bands tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the listeners would have to tell us whether the song that I was reciting the lyrics from.
We'll figure it out as we go along. Let's meet contestant number one, Mr. President, and try the game out.
All right, Fred in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Fred, you understand that the president of China's last name is H-U, right? Who? President Who?
Yes, absolutely.
You get that. Okay, good.
Okay. I'm there. Are you ready for your lyrics?
Oh, yes, Mr. President.
Then listen up or die!
I don't think they die.
Out here in the field, I fight for my meals. I get my back into my riving.
Is that a Who song or a Foo song? And which title?
Can I hear that one more time?
We
don't have that kind of time.
Mr. President. We don't have that kind of time.
I'm the president!
I know, but this is our game.
Okay.
How about The Who?
The Who and what song?
It is The Who, yes. What song?
I don't know.
Oh, we were looking for Baba O'Reilly this time.
Out here in the fields.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that either.
Okay. I love that song!
Let's go to Cliff in Santa Clarita. Good morning, Cliff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank you. Mr. President?
Has someone taken your faith? It's real. The pain you feel. The life. The love you die to heal.
Who are Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters.
And what song?
Yes.
There Goes My Hero?
Oh. No, this time it was Best of You we wanted.
Has someone taken your faith? It's real. The pain you feel.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Nice try, though. Thanks for playing the game.
Let's go to Kathy, who is calling from Inglewood. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
When you woke up this morning, you probably didn't guess you would be talking to the president of China.
No, not at all.
That's what I thought.
Okay, Kathy, you listen up or die.
Okay.
I tip my hat to the new constitution. take a bow for the new revolution. Smile and grin at the change all around.
That's the Who?
Yes.
Name of the song?
Who are you?
Yeah, that's not, won't get fooled again.
Won't get fooled again. Mr. President, I'm surprised to hear you doing lyrics about a revolution and a new constitution. That doesn't seem like the type of thing that flies in your country.
That, the whole thing all began with revolution.
Ah, that's how you started?
With caramel. Caramel.
Let's go to Andrew in Bellflower. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to Who or Foo. No one has gotten it right yet. So, good luck.
I'm the voice inside your head. You refuse to hear. I'm the face that you have to face mirrored in your stare.
I'm sorry?
That's the Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters?
It is.
Can I hear it one more time?
Please? Nope.
Nope.
Oh, man. Nope. It's hard to understand that part.
Oh,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, because I have accent.
my best guess would be the mirror or the mirrored face or something like that.
Yes, mirrored it's the mirrored face.
I'm sorry. It's actually called The Pretender.
I'm pretty sure we've only played that song once, though.
Just at one time.
So that's why that one was the easiest one ever.
So no dog on the menu if I come to your country for the Olympics? You're not going to be serving that at all in any of the restaurants near the Olympics?
China, now, 100% dog-free.
Just till the Olympics are over?
Yes.
Okay.
Then, we're going to feast on dog.
Ramon in La Puente, good morning.
Yes, sir, good morning.
All right, who or foo? And by the way, I believe we should move right into the sudden death round. So if you win, you win.
First one who get it wins?
That's correct.
Okay, listen up very, very carefully. I'm looking to the sky to save me. Looking for a sign of life. Looking for something to help me burn out bright.
That's the Foo Fighters. And,
it is?
The song is called Looking for a Star to Save Me. A
lot of clues in those lyrics.
He knows it. He's singing it.
Learn to Fly?
Yeah.
Look at that! How about that?
Congratulations!
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations. You're going tomorrow to the VH1 Rock Honors. The Foo Fighters will be there, as will you. Thank you for playing. Mr. President,
losers are going to prison!
No. They just don't win. That's all.
Everyone lose their rights!
That's not it. No.
How much would you pay if ahead of Disturbed and Slipknot and Mastodon and all the other bands performing this this weekend at the Mayhem Festival, how much would you pay if Clay Aiken came out and did a set?
I would pay any amount of money because the fans that are at that show would know what to do.
That's true.
Can you imagine how awesome that would be?
Yeah. We've been qualifying you all weekend long by giving you tickets to the Mayhem Festival. Now we're going to make a phone call to a K-Rock listener who's going to get to go to the show in a helicopter and hang backstage with Disturbed. And play Rock Band.
What an amazing day that'll be.
It's not bad, right?
Yeah.
And the helicopter ride is both ways. We have checked that because there was some fear that we were just going to be dropping you off in DeVore. Yeah. And then you have to find your own way home. Okay.
Hello?
Hey, is this would this be Sharon Norton?
Yes.
Turn down your radio, young lady.
Is this K-Rock?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Might you know why we're calling?
Yes.
You're going to the Mayhem show, the festival.
Oh, my God.
Yes. In a helicopter.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
Yeah, but with Psycho Mike.
With Psycho Mike, though.
Sorry.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Psycho Mike's going with you. But the good news is if the helicopter runs into any trouble, like on Lost, and you have to start throwing weight out so you don't crash, Psycho Mike's going to be your ballast. You can chuck him right out the window. You'll be safe.
We're talking about Dragon Force, Mastodon, Slipknot, of course. We've been playing their song Psychosocial here at K-Rock. It's been number one on the top 5 and 9 for, a couple weeks. Red Cord, Disturbed, of course, Under Oath. The Metal Militia's going to be there doing a performance. It's at Hyundai Pavilion. You are going to go in a helicopter.
Oh, my God.
And you're going to hang with the guys in Disturbed.
Oh, yes.
Now, have you ever played Rock Band?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. So at least you'll know a little something about it when you play with them.
Yeah, hopefully I don't look too dumb.
Do not embarrass us.
It's been funny. The musicians that we've brought up the Rock Band to, none of them are very good at it, right? I mean, it's a completely different set of skills to play actual instruments than it is to play Rock Band, as I understand it.
Yeah, it is because you have to do it like it says on the screen. You don't do what sounds good. You have to follow what it says on the screen. So.
Yeah.
And most of the guys don't want to play it because then, like, we asked Tom Morello we can play him in Guitar Hero? And he's like, no, what do I have to prove by that? You'll beat me. You'll go tell everybody you beat me. But
good
anyway, you get to play Rock Band. You get to play it with Disturbed. You get the helicopter. You get the tickets. You're going to have a great weekend.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, what city do you live in?
La Habra.
Okay. So how long was it going to take you to get out to the concert on Sunday?
The drive time is probably about an hour.
Well, you can just scratch that right off. You don't have to worry about that hour anymore in either direction.
Oh, God.
Do us a favor. Spit on everybody that's driving out. That's what we do.
There we go.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll give you all the details, okay?
Thank
Congratulations.
You so
much. Have
fun.
Sharon Norton from La Habra. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:34. Where's the guy with the effed up eye? What's happening with that?
Look, Doto, the international man of mystery, is a K-Rock listener that we have fallen very deeply in love with, and we desperately need an update from him because he's been sending us the most bizarre and cryptic emails for the past 2 weeks while he's been on another one of his weird Asian vacations. And we finally talked him into agreeing to come on the air with us and finally got a phone number out of him. Apparently he's in Vietnam. He never told us that. But apparently he's in Vietnam and he sent us a phone number, and it's missing a digit. So all morning long, we've been furiously emailing him going, Doe, the number you sent us doesn't have enough numbers in it. Please advise. Of course, we haven't heard anything back from him. So,
Bean, here's the other behind the scenes. The Bean asks him every time they email, can we put you on the air? And he'll answer kind of every question except that. He never even responds to it as if Bean didn't write it.
I don't know what's wrong with Doe, but we need to get him back on the show. But anyway, so far, he is not available. But we are hoping to catch up with him later today. Also, the creator and star of The Retarded Policeman coming in the 8 o'clock hour. Links at krock.com. You have to check that out. It's really the funniest thing on the internet. And our friend Mike Einzinger from the band Incubus is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, not only to talk about the VH1 Rock Honors The Who, but about an orchestral concert that he has coming up later in the summer. That sounds really, really cool. So all that straight ahead, plus the movie beat in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
323-520-AFRO is the number. You can leave a message 24 hours a day on any topic. You know, a lot of times we have listeners call up and they do impressions of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure this is actually the dude.
I will happen. Guys, don't have me on the show no more. If God's in the Arnold, I'm going to terminate you. Yeah, you guys are going to be dead.
It's uncanny. I mean, it's... That's got to be him. I think you're right.
Who gave that guy whatever feedback he has that he did that more than once? I mean, really, that might be the worst impression ever. You could also do text to landline and have the operator tell us what you want to tell us.
I sent you a text to landline message. Shut up.
Okay.
Oh, wow. He went to a lot of trouble just to get that message through.
This is apparently an oldster that is really, really tired of those kids and their damn rock music.
I want you guys to bring on a biker so we can all ask a biker, okay? Because I've got plenty of questions to ask a biker. Like, why in the you rip that mother bike of yours up and down my street at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning and it just makes all kinds of noise?
I got a neighbor who keeps late hours and rides a hog. And
yes,
2 a.m. man, many nights he comes rip roaring up the street.
Yes.
Of course, it's dead quiet. There's not another sound for miles. But man, does he let you know when he gets home?
And by hog, you mean BBW?
No, no, motorcycle.
Oh, all right. I want to stop doing Afro right now.
Why?
We're right in the middle of it.
I know, but Doto's on the line. We got Doto.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
We have Doto. So we'll have to finish Afro later, and we got to talk to Doto right now.
Okay.
Hey, Do.
I need a woman bean.
Well, good morning to you as well, Mr. Doto.
Good morning, Bean. How are you doing?
Well, we're fine. Kevin's here, too, and Lisa and Psycho Mike. Are you in Vietnam?
Yeah, I was there for a couple of days, but I'll be back in Hong Kong tomorrow.
Where are you now?
Well, I'm in Saigon.
Saigon.
For a few days.
Okay.
Okay, you're in Saigon right now. And what are you doing over there, Doe?
Me, the old man, we're doing something. It's there for some personal business.
Personal business?
Yeah.
So is it business or personal?
It's business.
Business, okay.
Are you having a nice time? How are you doing with the ladies?
Yeah. You know what? This one movie I really miss, Bean, is called Hard to Kill, Steven Seagal.
You miss that movie?
Yeah.
A Steven Seagal movie.
But what does that have to do with are you having a good time and how are you doing with the ladies?
Good. I'm having a good time, Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking a lot of coffee and just kicking back.
That's what you need, coffee.
That's right. Well, Del, we're so glad. By the way, this is a fantastic phone connection. You sound like you're in the next room, and I'm very impressed with that. The Vietnamese phone system must be top notch. We have some questions about some of the emails that you've been sending.
I know, Bean, but in some of my emails, like what I told you wasn't true. Like I was being a jerk because I had a bad week, Bean.
Okay, so you were joking when you wrote this.
Yeah, I was being a jerk because I kind of had a bad week.
Okay, but wait a minute. You were being a jerk is different than you were joking. You were joking, right?
I was joking. I was joking, Kevin.
I'm Kevin. Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. You were having a bad week, but why do you write the things that you do to me? I don't have anything to do with what's going on with you in Saigon.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, I'm not mad or anything. I'm just trying to understand why you did it.
Well, the reason why is because it seemed like you're the most person. You're the only one I can trust, Bean.
Yes.
Well, that is true.
Yes.
I am your only friend here. I am your only friend. Second, Mike, what were some of the emails that we received from Doe that concerned us a little bit?
Well, this is the first one. I made it clear to a church member that I might do something them which they will never regret. I made it clear with the internet technology, we live in small world. I could find people if needed.
I was just joking.
They took it very serious and do not take it as joke these days.
Okay.
And then go to the other one that you had up a second ago. The one that you just said. Bean, I'm not going to do anything dumb. Let's say that I decided to run this person over my car and he becomes paralyzed for life. Then who the hell cares if I have a learning disability according to the law? I could get away with it, right? If this person becomes disabled, I don't give a damn. That's just all what ifs.
Kevin?
That's just an example I gave you.
Yeah.
Yes, Doe. Go ahead.
Yes, Doe.
So you're telling me that people would take that pretty seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you hit a guy with your car and paralyzed him?
I'm just joking, Bean. Don't worry about that.
But what happened to you, Doto, that fueled that anger? Did you get into a fight with somebody, a disagreement, an argument? What?
I don't know. It's just sometimes I just have having these weird thoughts in my mind, Bean.
Right, but who were you speaking about specifically? Here it is. Here's your original one. Bean, in Asia, someone made fun of me because of a disability. A few days later, I run him over my two times. Now he's paralyzed for life. I planned a few days ahead. Now, there's not a lot of joking in there. That scares us.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It was a joke, though? I mean,
I'm being honest. It was a joke.
It was a joke?
Yes.
Did you get into a disagreement or fight with anyone while you were there, Doto?
I control my cool, Bean.
You controlled your cool. How did you do that?
Meditate.
You meditated?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doe is into meditation and Steven Seagal movies. Those are the two things that kind of keep him cool.
Is there anything wrong with that, Bean?
No, that's great.
Well, no, I think it's great that you control your cool. I mean, I think that's what you need to do.
Bean, I like to make it an entertainment, Bean.
You'd like to make it an entertainment. Right. We would like you to make it an entertainment too, though. We want to just make sure because this stuff, you can't really tell tone in email.
Gotcha.
No, I know that.
But a lot of people will put like a little happy face or just joking or something to give you a hint that they're kidding, especially when they're talking about running people over with their car and paralyzing them and premeditating it.
Well, don't worry. I would be careful with my jokes, Bean, Kevin.
All right, listen, Doe. How long are you going to be gone? How long is your tour in Asia?
I'll be back around August. So, Bean, you know what we should do? I'd like to do some more comedies.
We would like you to do more comedies as well.
That's what I was going to ask. What is your plan? You've mentioned on occasion that you want to make it in the entertainment industry. What are you going to do when you get back? That's going to make this happen, Doe.
Do you think maybe some comedies, Bean, or maybe some interviews, things like that. Just me being Doto.
Well, Doto, it's Psycho Mike. I have planned another video that we could film. I know that you really are interested in making it in the entertainment industry. And also, you had mentioned that you were concerned about the fact that you'd ballooned up to 230-something pounds.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I could train you and get you in shape, and we could film that, and then we could kill two birds with one stone because I can get a video of you out on the internet, and I could help you lose weight.
Really, you're kidding, Mike.
No, he's serious.
No, he's dead serious.
And he'd do it for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do it for free.
Is that something you'd be interested in?
Something I like to, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Doe. Well,
but
good.
Doe, we don't want to have to bail you out of jail to do it.
No, you're not going to.
Okay, we just want to make sure because these emails really scared us. And we want to make sure it's just the crazy rantings of an angry person on the email and not something that's real.
It's not something that's real, I swear.
Okay.
Okay. Doe, would you consider yourself a happy guy?
Yeah.
Really? What do you? What is it you're happy about? What's the best thing that's going on in your life?
Like having some, like swimming in a resort, enjoying myself in a resort.
Well, having, everyone loves a good swim.
Having swimming interviews?
No, in resorts.
Oh, in resorts.
Swimming.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So swimming is something that makes you happy. Well, you should do more of that between now and when you come home then.
Yes, Kevin.
Doto, do you feel, if you, let's just say, hypothetically, if you were to follow through on some of these, some of the threats that you made in the email and hurt someone, do you feel that you should be held accountable for that? Because do you think that you're a normal person and that the law can come down on you and punish you? Or do you think that you should be able to get away with it?
I don't know. It's pretty subjective, Mike.
Yeah, well, that's, we want to know. We want to know what your opinion is.
Look, I'm just kidding. Don't worry about it, Kevin Bean.
I'm right. Curious. What do you feel? Do you feel that you should get away with it, or that you should be held accountable for things that you do?
It's hard to say. It's case by case, Mike.
No, I mean, I want your opinion.
Let me explain to people why he's saying this, Del, and then we'll wrap it up. And we really are happy that we got to talk to you today. You say, since I'm in graduate school, let's say I went to court because I committed a crime, would I have a hard time convincing people that I'm retarded or a dummy? In my case, do you think anyone is going to be convinced that I'm retarded? And then you go on and on about how maybe if you did something, you could get off. Don't kill. I think that's what we're saying.
I'm just joking, Kevin.
Bean, is that what we're saying? Would you say that summarizes it?
Yeah, of course.
Don't kill.
Yeah. Don't hurt anybody, Doe, because you're a nice young man. You got a lot of good things going for you. You got your whole life ahead of you. I don't want to see you throw it away just because of some anger issues, okay?
Just Kevin. I'm just kidding, Bean. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Doe. Well, listen, it's great that we got to catch up. You have to let us know when you're back in town and you and Psycho Mike can work on that new video. And keep sending me those emails and keep in touch. And I'd like to see some pictures of the hot Vietnamese girls while you're over there, okay?
Yeah, I need some French ladies, man.
French?
Yeah.
Why? You went to the wrong place for that, didn't you?
They're all over.
Do you know why? Because I'm sure that you know that Vietnam was a French colony, so they do have a lot of French people there.
Of course we know that. Think we know?
Hey, we saw Apocalypse Now. Exactly. We know the scene. Of course. We know what you're talking about.
All right, Doe, you're the best.
Thanks for talking to us, all right, man?
Bye.
All right, bye now.
All right, have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Wow.
I thought retarded policeman wasn't until next hour. Actress Selma Blair, by the way, from Hellboy 2, joins us after the news at 8. Hellboy, one of the movies Ralph's going to be talking about right now because it's Friday and time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Three big movies in Cineplexes around the Southland this weekend. One of them looks really good. So you got that going for you.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Meet Dave.
That doesn't look good?
Well,
is that Eddie Murphy?
Here's Eddie Murphy playing a tiny alien who pilots a spacecraft that looks just like Eddie Murphy. So it's little Eddie Murphy inside of a big mechanical Eddie Murphy. And they come here to Earth to get something to save their planet. So he's really wacky as a spaceship person.
Does Eddie Murphy insist on playing 15 different characters in this movie as well?
I think he just plays two in this one. I think he just plays the giant robot Eddie Murphy as well as the pilot tiny Eddie Murphy.
All right, so he's scaling it down a little bit.
He's scaling it down. I wanted to bring a very funny clip from Meet Dave, but I couldn't find any. So instead, I'm going to give you a montage of painfully unfunny clips that we pulled off of the trailer here at K-Rock.
Hello, sir. Hi, are you all right?
Contact everyone. Our first verbal encounter. Thank you for your concern.
How hard did you hit this guy?
Oh, that's our cat, Boris. Cats. Here we go.
They're under attack.
Just let the music take you.
We are on the brink of anarchy.
Not now. I'm trying to let the music take me.
I just have one question, and that is, will Kevin go see this today,
no.
or will he wait till tomorrow?
No, I have standards.
Listen, I would guess that this is, no one will go see this, but then Norbit was a hit. So what do you know? What do you know? Although he's not playing a big fat woman who goes, hey!
That's true.
Which is, you know, the draw for
and
me.
And you liked Norbit, if I recall.
Because she goes, hey! It's funny.
That's right? Why you liked it. That carried
that
the movie
it.
For you,
yeah.
And you mocked me.
Big fat woman going, hey.
All right.
So you got Meet Dave opening up this weekend. Also opening up this weekend is Journey to the Center of the Earth 3D. Brendan Fraser puts back on his toupee and goes to work.
Is this a kid's movie or an adult movie?
It sort of is a kid's movie, but it's action-packed along the line of Mummy 3, which is also due out this summer, also starring Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
So I think it is for the kids, but primarily it's packed with enough action and special effects that it would entertain the parents as they bring their toddlers along. The plus side to this is apparently it is the most ambitious 3D movie to date.
That's what every 3D movie says.
Well, they have to be. The next 3D movie has to be more ambitious than the following one in order to make it interesting, right?
Right.
Problem is, not all theaters are showing this in 3D. So if you're going to go see this movie, I would suggest you go to see it in 3D, preferably in IMAX, because that's sort of the draw.
Okay. But it's showing in regular theaters all over the place, too.
Yeah, so you'll see, like, if you go to regular theaters, like, ooh, I'm going to go reach for this. And you just see a guy reaching for the camera for no good reason because it won't be in 3D, so it won't make any sense to you.
All right, good.
So I would suggest you see it in 3D. Here's a scene from the film. Brendan Fraser plays Trevor when he realizes they are standing on thin, fragile rock as they reach the center of the Earth.
What's Muscovite?
Muscovite is a very thin type of rock formation.
How thin?
Well, so thin that the slightest change of weight and pressure can cause it to shatter. It's actually thicker than I thought.
We're still falling!
See?
That's kind of funny.
They're a long way. Both of those cracked me up.
They're still falling.
Those are funny.
But what about the what?
Both the first one where he said it's stronger than I thought.
Yeah.
And we're still falling.
If you're going to do this sort of family-focused action entertainment, Brendan Fraser really is a good choice. He always sort of makes it watchable, and he's a very likable actor.
Looks good.
I think if you got kids, this might be the way to go.
And he's got a big kid fan base, too, doesn't he? From George of the Jungle and Dudley Do-Right and all. I mean, he's done a lot of these sorts of movies, but he's actually a pretty good actor.
He really is. Did you ever see the movie where he plays the son of Christopher Walken, and they keep him inside a bomb shelter for 30 years because...
Oh, Blast from the Past.
Blast from the Past, yeah.
I did see that.
Because his parents believe that nuclear war is imminent, so they all go into the bunker. And
they get locked in?
No, they go in, but they lose contact with the outside world, so they think it's all Armageddon up on the surface. So they stand there, and when he comes up, it's 30 years later, and he has to kind of readapt to modern society.
And then he moves into a biodome? Or?
No,
that's not.
Very so if you got kids, you might want to check out Journey to the Center of the Earth. But lastly, the movie we've all been waiting to see after 4 years after the original, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, was released.
Ralph, you were so looking forward to the screening last night. How was it?
In fact, I watched Hellboy 1 on DVD yesterday afternoon just to get myself primed and get myself back caught up to speed to go see the special advanced screening that I was
How was it?
Last
Don't
night.
Torture us. How was it?
Well, I got to tell you, it was not what I expected it to be.
Because what way?
I fell asleep and I missed the screening.
You were like on your couch.
Wait, you mean you were on the list to go to the screening last night?
Sure,
Watch the movie.
I was planning to go. I was prepared to go. I was ready to go.
Which you were excited about.
And usually I take a nap in the afternoon when I have evening things to do, but I forwent my nap to watch the DVD.
I see.
You see.
Then you took your nap during the screening.
During the screening, yes. So I missed it, but our producer, Alex, who I was going to meet there at the screening, she actually got there to see it. So I brought her in as a special guest movie reviewer today.
It's been a while since you stood up a date, Ralph. I got to be honest.
Yeah, well.
That's okay. I filled it with another dude. It was fine.
Yeah. Alex, how was Hellboy 2, The Golden Shower?
I don't want to say...
It's The Golden Army.
R. Kelly version. I'm going to say it's awesome, and it's totally fun. And I'm a little pissed, though, at Guillermo del Toro.
Why?
A little bone to pick with him.
Yeah, I heard it.
It's going to make Bean happy.
What?
What's that?
There's an awesome scene. It's got Hellboy, Ape Sapien, bunch of Tecate, and Barry Manilow.
What?
Apparently Barry Manilow is Hellboy.
Is he in the movie?
There's a little scene.
Is he one of the bad guys?
It's not a direct cameo, but there is a...
Does Hellboy beat him up?
I was going to say Hellboy is a fan of Lowe.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
No.
You leave that movie.
As all good Americans are, by the way.
You leave that movie with a little berry in your head, and you hate it.
That's what I'm talking about.
To Guillermo's credit, he makes it really funny, so you can't hate him too much. But it's awesome. I think every character, he didn't fit into Pan's Labyrinth. He just stuck in this movie, and it's fantastic.
Apparently
it's awesome.
He amps up the special effects in the second edition of Hellboy considerably.
Yeah.
But the entire cast is returning. Ron Perlman returns, of course, as Hellboy, who was so good in the original. Selma Blair as Liz, the Firestarter. Doug Jones returns as Abe Sapien. And our buddy Seth MacFarlane also lends his voice to the character of Johann Kraus in the film. And here's the scene that I pulled from Hellboy 2. It is Hellboy getting into a brawl with Johann Kraus, voiced by our very own pal Seth MacFarlane.
You have one fatal flaw.
Oh, I want to hear it.
No, you don't. You can't take criticism.
Try me.
Can't take it.
What's my flaw?
Your temper. It gets the best of you. Makes you weak. Makes you vulnerable.
Oh, crap.
He hits him so hard that he no longer... He ceases to function.
Oh.
His old crap is worked in at the funniest places in both of these movies,
yeah,
it sounds like.
Terrific. Ron Perlman was great in the lead role. And according to Alex, it was real good. So.
Yeah. It was good. Oh, and Mr. Jimmy Kimmel, some dude, has a TV show, I guess.
Yeah.
Apparently, he has a little cameo in this movie.
That's really?
Fun. A little bit.
How about that?
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
So distracting to me. I go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's the guy that lights his farts. I can't take that seriously.
So my recommendation this weekend is for Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. I suggest you check that out. Otherwise, go see Meet Dave because...
No, Center of the Earth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Center of the Earth, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And every hour all weekend long, we are going to give you tickets to one of the sold-out Coldplay shows. They're here Monday and Tuesday. And We just gave away our first pair of tickets to Justin Allen from Valley Village.
Congratulations, Justin. By the way, next week is going to be when Coldplay goes to that K-Rock listener's house in the Valley to play the concert. We got to make a mental note here, Kevin, if you got any place to hang it. And we need to call her and see if we can figure out a way that we can be invited to that in her backyard, because that'll be cool. All right. Hey, you're playing Firestarter. I get that.
See?
Liz Sherman is the character that we all fell in love with in 2004 in the original Hellboy movie. She is back in actress Selma Blair's capable hands in Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, opening everywhere today. Selma Blair joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Good morning, Selma. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
This is the first ever sequel that you've ever participated in. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And it was a good one to get to work with Guillermo, you know, twice. I'm a lucky girl. You guys had him in yesterday?
We did. Yes. We had Guillermo on it yesterday, and he is just one of those guys who you love talking to. And then when he leaves, you can't help but go, I kind of wish I was him. He seems so cool.
I know. He's an amazing cast man, and he is so funny. And to get to be with him for like 2 years of my life, it was pretty incredible. He makes me realize that I don't do much in my life.
That's how we felt, too. We felt like total slackers after that guy left when he told us all this stuff. I mean, just the air travel alone that guy manages to survive, I couldn't live through.
Yeah.
No, and he does everything for his fans and his family, and he's a generous, wonderful man. And the film, I think, is so much fun, and he does it all for the love of people. God.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because his background is in special effects and makeup and that sort of thing. How tough is it for you as an actress to be in a movie like this one where you just have scenes with hundreds and hundreds of things that you can't see?
No, well, that's what's so amazing about Guillermo, because he's so passionate about it. He makes it. He's like one of the rare people that it's not a lot of green screen or CGI. He actually creates these. They're monsters that are there. He makes these puppets. That's his joy. Like, they're really there.
And so, you're actually on fire?
Imagination. I'm actually on fire.
All right. That's pretty cool.
No, he added that later. There was no fire there for me. That was the only thing. But the monsters and everything, they're really there.
That's cool.
That is amazing, and that is very rare in movies these days. I mean, there are so many films that are being made now where it's all shot on a soundstage and green screen, and they put it all in afterwards.
No, I mean, I haven't had that sense of wonderment since seeing, like, Star Wars in the cantina scene since I was a little kid. And so to get to do that now as a grown-up, it's pretty special.
I went back and watched the original Hellboy again just to kind of get in the mood.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what a difficult job it must be to act like you're on fire. I was just thinking, okay, roll, and you're on fire.
The first one I felt really stupid. The
first
one, because the first one, my fire would come kind of unbidden, and it would be like these kind of like epileptic fits, and I'd be on flames. And, of course, there's nothing there, and I'm just writhing around and jerking and whatever. And Guillermo would just be in stitches. And of course, it would look like I'm some exorcist sexual act, you know, and I was just so mortified. The days that I'd have to be in flames, I would just dread. Oh, my God.
I sure would like to get that video of you without being on fire.
No, no.
That would be awesome.
Field vault somewhere. I mean, it's really horrifying. But in the second one, I can control it better in this film, so it's more like I'm just... have my arms outstretched and a funny look in my eye. So it's not as bad.
I gotcha.
Why doesn't Liz hook up with the Human Torch from Fantastic Four instead of wasting her time with Hellboy? It seems like they'd be a much better match together.
Oh, my God. Blasphemy. Hellboy's my guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, Hellboy's sexy and funny, and, I mean, no one else could I be with. I mean, he's a devil boy, so he's flame retardant, so it works out perfectly.
Now, you're a couple with him now, or how does this one start?
No, yes. We're together.
Okay.
The first one, it ended. We ended in a passionate kiss. So, we're actually together, and we're kind of squabbling. So we're in some domestic fights in this one. He's kind of a slob, and there's not enough room for all my black jeans and boots, I guess. So we fight, and
I have a clip
of superheroes fight. It's kind of a mess.
I have a clip of you two. You're responding to some kind of a call at a party, and you're in different locations.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm talking about.
And you and Hellboy, you're talking about it.
Whatever they called us for is over. We had over 70 guests reported. We have no survivors, no bodies.
Same story here, babe.
Don't call me babe.
Hey, I said. Hey.
Prop channel.
Hey, I think Liz is still mad at me.
Still the same channel.
Oh.
Lay off the Hellboy.
He's like a big kid. Yeah, I'm mad at him at this point. I need to talk to him about something. And he's kind of a big kid. And yes, you.
Yeah. We are talking to actress Selma Blair on the phone. Of course, she is one of the stars of Hellboy 2 that opens up everywhere today. You know, with as hard as you worked on this movie and Guillermo and everybody else and all the years that go into it, it's got to be so satisfying to have it come out and see the rave reviews all week long as people are starting to discover the film.
Oh, I love it. I mean, this movie really deserves people's love. I think it's so much fun. I think girls would always be afraid of this movie because the title, I'm like, oh, God, my boyfriend likes this one. They think it would be like Hellraiser or a scary movie. And
very different.
It's really, Hellboy's a really endearing character. He's just a lovable guy. He loves kittens and beer and pancakes and he loves his girlfriend who bursts into flames. And I don't know, it's a really endearing, adorable movie, and there's a lot of romance in it too.
Go see Selma Blair. Of course, the great Ron Perlman is Hellboy. Jeffrey Tambor, who's one of our favorites, is in there. Doug Jones, the voice of Seth MacFarlane. We had that clip earlier this morning, and you know how much we love Seth. So it really does look like a great time on a summer weekend. And Selma, I hope we talk to you again. I know you got the new TV show coming out on NBC that everybody's buzzing about already, too, this fall. So maybe we'll talk to you again soon. But thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Ralph won't even come in. He's too nervous. He doesn't want to meet his heroes. He's afraid he might be disappointed if he meets his heroes here.
I got to tell you, in a world of every single day, somebody comes in and says, you've got to see this. And they show you a video, and you watch it. You either laugh or don't. And you forward it to your friends. In that world, it's pretty amazing to be maybe the funniest thing we've ever seen.
A real standout.
And I'm talking about retarded policemen. And we have Josh, the Ponce Man Perry here. Good morning, Josh.
Come on.
Hello.
We have Scott Perry, who's his brother.
The bro, yes.
Correct. And then we have the creator, Greg Benson. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. So tell us how this all came about.
I don't know. I haven't seen the show, but I hear it's pretty good. You know, the genesis of this show was actually my wife, Kim Evie's idea. She comes up with a lot of amazing ideas. And one time she just said, well, what if we make a show about a retarded policeman? And it was just that simple. And I thought, gosh, I wonder if Josh would do that.
Now, how do you know Josh?
Well, Scott and I became friends, strangely enough, through MySpace. Scott's a really talented filmmaker, and he directed the latest episode, which is the mime episode.
Dude, who's using MySpace to meet dudes? I mean, what's up with that? You may have missed the point of the whole social networking thing if you're meeting guys on MySpace.
Well, that's what happens when you're married. You know, you gotta you gotta figure something out.
Why? You gotta go with dudes?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
see, my wife would be more disappointed if she found out I was with another guy. I don't know about you, but
the picture I have reveals my breasts a lot, though.
Okay. No,
Okay. That's true. Seek up.
Okay. So. Yeah. All right, good.
He's got a very sexy picture on there.
All right, so you already knew him, and yeah. Then what?
Well, the first time I saw Josh was in one of Scott's shorts, an amazing little short called Flea of Fury. That's the first thing I saw Josh in, and he's just hilarious. And I'm like, well, here's this guy.
He was acting in it.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. acting in it. And here's this actor with Down syndrome who's just really funny, and he's fun to watch. And I just thought, he's just so great. And I watched him a lot of other Scott's shorts.
Trouble with Syndromes.
The Trouble with Syndromes is pretty damn hilarious.
I like the title.
Yeah, you got to see that one.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people who have this condition or whatever, the family seems like they're super secretive about it and almost embarrassed. And you guys are making shows and Josh is making fun of himself and out there playing, having a good time. Your parents are psychotically funny.
The grandma. Yeah, she's
is she the one in the walker?
Yep, that's
her.
Kidding.
That's your
Meemaw.
Grandma. Meemaw. Oh my God! How do you say those things to her, Josh?
I just say some good lines.
That's your grandma, though.
And my grandma, who played
the woman. Yeah,
the woman. Yeah.
You like flirting with her? Did you like flirting with her when you asked her to give you a massage?
Yeah.
He pulls over a woman in a walker, for those of you that haven't seen it yet. All the links are up at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Go to Internet Roundup.
Okay.
Thanks for doing that, by the way. That's really cool.
It's one of the funniest things we've had.
Yeah, people are loving it, as they discovered on the website, too. And, of course, they're all up at YouTube, too. Josh, do you find the show funny, too? Do you know why everybody laughs so much at the stuff that you do and say?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's funny.
How can you not, right?
What is your favorite episode? Which one did you enjoy making the most?
I did enjoy doing Taser. It's really funny.
Taser is way funny. Yeah. Pulls the guy over, says, do you mind if I taser you? The guy goes, yes, I mind. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite part?
And my favorite part where I electrocute the guy.
Yes.
And he says, actually I say, knock, knock. And he says, who's there? And I say,
he tells him a knock-knock joke. Yeah. The guy says, who's there? And then he just tases him.
That's the punchline.
It's one of the funniest things ever.
That's Mark McCracken getting tased there. And very, very funny actor. And Laura House playing his wife.
You know,
very
all of the people that get pulled over are good actors and actresses, too. I was noticing that. I was thinking, that's really...
Well, thanks. You know, we're very lucky that we know a lot of really good actors. They're all friends. And, you know, I have a background in acting, and so I just know a lot of actors. So does Scott, so does Ponce, and so we get my friends on, their friends, and of course relatives.
Here's the theme, and this is how you know you're about to enjoy something.
He is a cop, and he's learning impaired. He's the retarded policeman.
That's me!
Sure. A live performance.
And now I can say that my music has been played on K-Rock.
That's correct.
Which is pretty amazing.
By the way, that's not the first time. We've played that a lot. We love this show.
I heard it on Monday, which is so great.
Greg, what about people that you want to be on the show? I mean, is there like a waiting list now to act with the Ponce Man? Is everybody trying to get on the program?
You have no idea how many emails and calls I get of people, friends and strangers, who are saying, hey, listen, can I be on an episode? And how about me? I've got a Mack truck. One guy's got a Mack truck. Another guy's got a motorcycle. Pull me over.
They want to get pulled over by the Ponce Man?
Everybody wants for Ponce Man to pull him over. And so I've been keeping a list of all these people. But
how many of those people have a radio show that they put you on? You know what I mean?
Is that a hint?
You know what I'm saying?
How many of those people have a radio show and some free concert tickets to give away in exchange for an appearance on Return of the
Well, let's not get crazy about the free concert tickets, but I mean, we're happy to promote. All right, well, we have many more questions for all of you guys, but we need to take a quick break. Greg Benson is here. He is the creator, Scott Perry, one of the directors, and of course, his brother Josh is the star. He is the retarded policeman. You got to check this out on YouTube or through krock.com, and we'll talk some more with the guys when we return right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
We have Greg, we have Josh, we have Scott, and they are in the studios. They are the guys behind maybe the funniest thing on the internet, the retarded policeman.
What do you mean, maybe?
Maybe, okay.
You're offended. I'm sorry.
Not even up for question.
And funnier than anything on TV.
That's correct. Oh,
well,
way funnier.
That's for sure.
Well, you know, that is true. I love is that's what you guys said on Monday without our input. I love that, you know, we listen to the Monday show. And thank you for saying that.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because we do live in a world where everybody complains. And everybody complains a lot. And for some reason in the last 4 or 5 years, actually since the Janet Jackson thing.
Yeah. I guess because they have more of a voice now.
No, it's just that people listen to them.
Yeah.
Our company, for example, is driving us out of our minds. We're sure we're going to be fired any day.
Mm.
Because one complaint to our company is death.
Yeah.
And I don't know when we stop just going, okay, there's 10% of the population that hates what we do. That's all right.
They sent us a memo called Words Can Hurt.
Yeah, they did.
Is that right?
Yeah. We would never be able to do what you guys do. And so tell us about the politically correctness and how you do not do that on your show. And what is the response you get from
people? Well, I don't believe in politically correct. I know that Josh and Ponce and Scott, and Josh and Ponce and Scott, all three of them, don't believe in politically correct either. It's just, you know, I think that a lot of people, the initial reaction that a lot of people have to the show is that it's awful, it's exploitative, and they don't allow themselves to just laugh at the comedy until they realize, hopefully, that, you know, Josh is in on the joke.
And he's having fun.
He's just having fun, and the show doesn't make fun of him, and it doesn't make fun of disabled people in the least, but in fact empowers Josh because he's the guy, he's the authority figure, the guy in control, and he's just having fun. And that's the whole point.
Ponce Man, as a result of your success from the Retarded Policeman series, are you meeting a lot of ladies? Is that working out for you?
Yes, I am a ladies man.
As well you should be.
Here's one from one of the episodes when the Ponce Man pulls somebody over and describes what it is he needs to do.
You know why I pulled you over?
Because I was speeding?
No, because you're black. We're supposed to pull people over if they're black. I'm supposed to hit you with this now, okay?
What? No way!
Yes way. Please get on the ground so I can beat you.
No!
Come on, I'm just trying to do my job.
Oh my God. I mean, that's just... it's
wrong. It's so wrong, it's right. Yeah. Could this show air on television, Greg?
What, are you kidding?
No way.
Cable?
Even?
No, listen, we would love it to. I mean, this show, I think, would fit in perfectly with, like, Adult Swim, you know, or something on Comedy Central. But I think it's the advertisers who shy away from things that are this edgy. I mean, this
Yeah, nobody has
incorrect.
The balls to actually admit that something's funny and then, you know, and promote it.
And stand by it, yeah. Because they listen to people who complain a lot. That drives us crazy. Have you tried to get advertisers and just no one will? Or?
Well, you know, we're actually just kind of opening it up now. So, you know, if there are any advertisers listening who aren't afraid, then just, you know, give us a call.
Here's another one where the Ponce Man stops somebody and explains exactly what needs to happen.
Hey, want to sell some coke?
What?
Come on, don't be a pussy. Cooking is cool.
Tell me about tell me about the numbers of people who are enjoying this show online right now.
Oh, geez. Well,
it's like over like 12 million who's seen every episode,
I think. I know. Well, the pilot's been seen a couple million times, and then a lot of the other episodes have been seen over a million times. All of them will eventually, you know, hop over a million, but right now we just put up episode 13.
Is that the mime one?
Yeah, that's with Doug Jones, who's in Hellboy, too. He's Abe Sapien.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Haven't seen that one yet, but I've seen, I think, all the others.
That's incredible. And this one actually was directed by Scott. He wrote the script, and I said, you know, it's just so damn good. You want to direct it? and he did, and it's an awesome episode.
Josh, are people recognizing you on the street now?
Oh,
this?
Yes.
Yeah? What kind of response do you get?
They come up to me sometimes, and they say they love the show.
Uh-huh.
And
then you just have sex with them?
Not recently,
okay.
But don't you think that every guy out there with Down syndrome is also getting recognized for the show?
No.
I mean, don't you suspect they're coming up to all of them?
Oh, come on.
Well, no, he's gotten people, you know, who will come and say, oh, is that the dude from Life Goes On?
Which was
on like 25 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like,
right.
Yeah, the magical retard who doesn't age. You know what I mean? Like, what? Oh.
Let's talk about the word retard.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about it.
Because we get a lot of complaints about that as well. That is a demeaning term, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But, well, yeah.
You guys get the same response, I'm sure.
We do, absolutely. It goes back to the whole politically correct thing. I mean, like, what is the word that you want to use this decade? I mean, in the 70s and the 80s, you know, mentally retarded is just a medical term. And, you know, really retarded just means slow. So what's the big deal? You know, I mean, it's
especially
just a
now,
word.
Nobody calls somebody a retard now and thinks, you have an extra chromosome. You are Down syndrome when they say retard. Like, right. I mean, the actual, you know, he's been really lucky because... You know, nobody, he hasn't ever really been, like, teased and attacked or anything, but the people who are so uptight about the word,
mm-hmm.
it's just like the, you know, the N-word used to be for black people. It's like,
oh, it still is, by the way.
It is, but yeah, they own that word. Right?
They do, yeah.
And it's like, why can't he own the R-word?
Exactly.
Right.
That's a good question. It's like every year, every decade, the words that are acceptable change.
Yeah. True.
I think it was Chris Rock that said back in the 70s, if you were to call a black man African, he would kick your ass.
Yeah.
Which I think is just, so,
that's a good point.
Now that's what's acceptable.
Now, Josh, is it hard for you to learn your lines? Do you memorize them? Is somebody on the set, are you guys making it up kind of as you go, or what happens?
I read the lines.
You read them? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is it difficult, or is it easy for you to remember?
Yeah. And
yeah.
I've become a toilet policeman.
Yes, you do.
That's
he's a
exactly
good memorizer.
Right.
You're a good memorizer.
And he's good at improv. We throw stuff out at him, you know. What was the, I'm a hell of a spooner or something like that? Like,
oh, yeah. That was
lines like that, you just throw them out and he's got the best delivery.
Greg, how many Return of Policeman episodes do you hope to make, or right now do you not have an end date for the series?
We're going
to
stop at 500.
500?
Yeah. 500. Once we've hit 500, that's going to be enough. And then we'll all lay down and die because that will be exhausting. No, it has no end right now. I mean, we will keep making them as long as we have funny ideas and funny scripts. And right now, I think we kind of have no shortage of them. I've got a list at home of other episodes we're going to make. Well, we can talk about some of them. There's Retarded Policeman Goes to the Moon.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And he eats the moon. Yeah. Because
I'm sorry,
it's made of cheese.
He eats the moon because it's made of cheese.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and then
he
becomes the proxy moon.
Yeah,
there's all that old plot line. I want whatever you guys are smoking, by the way. What else you got?
What else?
Like eating the moon isn't enough.
Retarded policeman goes to Hawaii,
yeah.
And he finds a little taboo statue that he has a surfing accident because of it.
I like it.
And then Janin. Oh, yeah.
And then
that was a Brady Bunch. Right. Well,
there's Retarded Policeman Goes to Australia. It's all goes to. Like, every episode's going to be goes to from now on.
Like they did Shaft in Africa. You remember?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't endorse this more highly, as we have said numerous times this week, and not just when you guys were in the room. It is the funniest thing on the internet. You can go to mediocrefilms.com if you want. You can just go through the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com for the link, or you can just do a search on YouTube for Retarded Policeman. You guys are doing a terrific work. I can't wait to see what happens next. I mean,
thanks so much.
And you have a specific day that you put the new episodes up?
Well, we usually put them up on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
And it's almost every week now. We don't know if there's going to be one next week, but then there's going to be another few in a row. We've been kind of putting them up. Just
depends on what kind of drug haze you're in.
Exactly.
If you get them finished or not.
And I got to say that Ponce has his own website now, ponceman.com.
That's the best. Nude photos? Great. What do you have up there? Bathing suit?
He has a couple of revealing photos.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty sexy.
How could they not be? He's got no choice.
Exactly.
It has been a long time since we've been able to recommend something this great. And it's not politically correct, and we love that about it. But it's also not really making fun of anybody. Which I love.
That's the whole idea.
It's you, Josh, having a great sense of humor, and the people, everybody's playing along, and nobody gets hurt, so don't complain. We don't want to hear it.
It's all in good fun.
It's all in good
fun. And frankly, we don't care if people love it or hate it as long as they watch it.
Right.
Retarded Policeman is the name of it. It's at YouTube. You can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. There's a link for all of them up there right now. And Josh, you do great work. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Greg and Scott, thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it.
Likewise.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Yaman.
Wasn't that long ago
Yaman.
That there was a salesperson here at K-Rock who has since left, but was very excited to go to one of our shows to see Bob Marley.
Yaman.
Very excited.
That's right.
Highlight of the show, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And then was so disappointed afterwards when he didn't show.
Hey, ordinarily on a program like today, once we've already had the Return of Policeman in, the show would have peaked and we'd be done with it and we'd just coast till the end of the program. Not today. Today we have our friend Mike Einzinger from the band Incubus joining us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk all about this weekend's VH1 Rock Honors The Who and also his orchestral show that's coming up at UCLA Royce Hall. That's all on the way in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. First, Rob's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on?
Here's sad news.
What?
Morgan Freeman's getting a divorce.
Oh, really?
National Enquirer.
Someone's divorcing God?
National Enquirer's reporting that the Oscar winner's 24-year marriage to his wife Myrna's in trouble.
Wow.
Myrna.
How do you find out after 24 years, you know, this just really isn't working out?
The only thing I would guess is they had to have a lot of time apart because of his job. So maybe you don't clash a lot because you're not together a lot. I don't know.
Anyway, she's already consulting a lawyer, according to the National Enquirer, and is accusing him of becoming intimate with a family friend.
Well, that'll break you up no matter how long you've been married, if
that's
going on.
Not after 24 years. You know, after 24 years, if he has one intimate friend,
You say, all right, don't do that again. Seriously, let's get back on track now.
I'm
let's
serious
get
about
on
this.
With the rest of
yeah,
our
but
lives.
Family friend might be key here.
Oh, Lisa, you're so
it could
picky.
Be her best friend or
Come
something.
Come on, 24 years. Seriously.
Look, he can pick from the world. Don't pick someone that your wife knows.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
I don't think you know, Lisa.
It's Morgan Freeman.
He is Morgan Freeman.
He is.
That's
he deserves
point.
It. That's a tough
one.
He deserves it.
That's right. He's an Oscar winner. He's worked hard. He deserves a little R&R. That's all I'm saying. James Franco, who stars in the upcoming movie Pineapple Express, which looks very funny.
Does. It does. Mm-hmm.
With his former Freaks and Geeks co-star, Josh Seth Rogen. Mm-hmm. His friends call him Josh. Okay. That's why I slipped, because that's what
sure.
we call him around the house.
Right.
He's not just an actor and a director and a writer. He's now a college graduate. He just received his bachelor's degree in English literature from UCLA. Now he can finally settle down and open up that little English literature store he's been hoping to get off the ground. English literature. Kevin got a degree in English literature, for
yeah,
God's
right.
sakes. Look what happened to him.
And look how it served me.
Kevin can write himself a note, then can't read it afterwards.
Oh, we don't need to talk about
That's
that.
What his level time. Of English proficiency is.
But he has an extensive knowledge of Jack Kerouac.
We do not.
That's true.
He loves
does.
Jack Kerouac.
We don't have time
do we
for
have Jack Kerouac hanging
no.
around? Do we have any tape of Jack Kerouac?
No.
That's a bean thing.
I might have that.
No.
Hey, let's
not
me
waste
ask you.
Time. Let's not waste time.
Let me ask you this, though. Guys, and that is, forget James Franco, because obviously he's an actor and he's got something to fall back on. What do most people go into English literature for? What's the job that you are training for?
Got to teach, right?
Yeah, That's I could it. Only guess teach. It would be college professor to teach other students about English lit. I don't know what else it could be about.
In fact, James is planning on going to NYU this fall to start on his master's degree in English literature. He sure loves him some
Seriously?
English literature.
He sure does.
My buddy went into law school after getting his BA in English literature. I don't know. I mean, if that's common, but
I only majored in English because it was easy for me, so I didn't have to study that much, so I could party more. That's why I
How easy could English
it
be
was,
for you, though?
It just came naturally. I don't know. It really did. Like, I wouldn't study for... I know, this is ridiculous. I wouldn't study for grammar tests, and I would get not just A's, but 100%.
Wow.
What happened?
I don't know. I've
that
been,
is weird.
Were you hit by a meteor or something?
Some kind of brain scrambler. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it's all jumbled
Did
now.
Did you go into the tube of history?
I really couldn't tell you.
Here's the clip you requested of
no.
Kevin talking about one of his early heroes, the great author Jack Kerouac.
In the spirit of adventure and in the shadow of Jack Kerouac and the American Road, who is that?
Jack
oh,
Kerouac.
No one, don't worry about it. Who's Kerouac? I don't know who this is. Why is this funny?
Have you ever heard of a book called On the Road?
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, kind of. Jack Kerouac.
No, that's no. Charles Kerouac.
Charles Kerouac.
Yeah, same guy.
Different I don't
guy.
Know who Jack Kerouac
that's
is.
That's Charles Kerouac's real name.
All right.
On the Road, Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, still don't know.
You must have read that when you were getting your English literature
must
degree.
Have. Must
of
have.
Course. But
essential. Yeah.
But look at me.
I know. It's true.
I don't know. I don't
That's
know
the ultimate
happens.
Defense. I wish I had that defense.
I really
just
don't
look
know.
At me.
Just look at me.
I'm me. Look at how me I am.
Do you know me? Come on.
And here's a guy with a worse memory than Kevin.
Who?
See what you did there?
Because I forgot who
Stephen
we're talking about.
Stephen Stills. Oh, maybe sure. a name that's familiar with some of you people who are familiar with the history of rock and roll. Stephen Stills was in a band called Buffalo Springfield. Mm-hmm. Of course, he recorded with... Nash and Young, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. You know that's
that is some
that
bad music right there.
But whatever you may think of their talent level, they've been around for a long
yes.
time. Stephen Stills turns out recorded an album with Jimi Hendrix, but he forgot about it.
Oh my god!
What does it take to stick in his mind?
Apparently, he was going through a box of tapes in his house recently, and he uncovered a ton of previously unreleased recorded material that he did with Jimi Hendrix. So now he plans to put it all on an album and have it released.
Wow.
Basically, the dumbest guy on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Wow.
It does seem like after Jimmy passed in the late 60s, he would go, oh, I have a tape of me with that
Wait
dude.
Wait a minute. Can I do something with him? Let me look at my files. That's the magic of the 60s, by the way.
Yeah.
You could record an entire album with a legend, and the whole thing could slip your mind. Because who knows what you were in. Ingesting when that was all happening.
Where did this
place.
Come from?
Wow. What? Jimi Hendrix. That name sounds familiar to me. How do I know Jimi Hendrix?
Who is that guy?
Oh, that was the black dude playing guitar that one time when I was in the studio. Let's see if I can find those tapes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie is 32 years old today.
Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville. Played Lex Luthor for many seasons on that show. He's left the show. I don't know what's going to happen to the show now without Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
They're going to be hard-pressed.
Seems like they need that.
You would think. He is 36 years old today. Greg Grunberg from Heroes and Alias and Felicity. He is 42. Scott Schreiner from Weezer turns 43. Lisa Rinna from Dancing with the Stars and Days of Our Lives is 45. Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi turns 49 years old today. Celia Ward, talented and beautiful actress, is 42. And Mindy Sterling, who played Frau Farbissina in all the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, yeah.
Very funny actress. She's
hot or not hot? Not hot.
No.
Mindy knew.
God, no.
Talented.
Actively, I couldn't remember which character
actively
she was.
Actively not hot.
Scream that.
Super actively not hot. Trying very hard to not be
you
hot.
Don't have to go out of your way to insult
aggressively
the
lady. Ugly is yes. What Kevin was saying yes. Earlier.
Hey,
she wants to poke you in the eye with her ugliness.
Hey,
what?
Pull back on the reins there, right. Silver.
She's ugly.
Mindy is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The same.
A lot of great shows in town in the next few days, including two sold-out Coldplay gigs at the Forum next week. Aaron Bell from Irvine won hers. We've got them for you every hour on K-Rock all weekend long. So congratulations. Thanks for listening to Aaron. There's also something going on tomorrow night I think you'll be interested in at UCLA's Pauley Pavilion. It's the VH1 Rock Honors The Who, Pearl Jam on the bill. Foo Fighters, Flaming Lips, The Who themselves, and a little band called Incubus. Our friend Mike Einziger joins us, the guitarist for the band Incubus, in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock right now.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
How's your summer going, dude?
Summer's good. It's really nice to be home, actually. It's one of the first summers that we've been at home in a pretty long time, actually.
Yeah. You start to lose track of where you are and what you're doing and all that?
Does constantly.
Yeah?
Yeah. We never know where we are, what day it is, what month it is.
God, that's kind
There's
of
no,
weird.
Well, no holidays, no weekends, no nothing. Birthdays,
it's
nothing.
It's September 16th right now, and it's a Wednesday, if that helps you.
That's true. That makes some sense.
Now, when I heard of the lineup, first of all, I was very impressed with the lineup for this VH1 Rock Honors of the Who, which is going to tape tomorrow night, but it's going to air Thursday if people want to see it. I was a little bit surprised to see Incubus on the bill because I kind of, in my mind, I was thinking, well, these are guys who are, you know, on hiatus right now. But has that not been the case? Have you actually been out touring in other parts of the world since the last time we saw you?
Yeah, we actually just got back from playing a bunch of festivals in Europe with Rage Against the Machine. It was really fun, and we're after tomorrow's concert, we're about to take a break for a pretty decent amount of time, but until this point we've been out touring in other parts of the world and we've been really busy.
I read someplace that you're going to Harvard. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
That's what you're gonna do with your time off?
Yes.
Harvard.
Show
scary.
Off.
Yeah, it's just
show
scary.
Off.
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
I know, but Harvard.
But look how he's dressed. He looks like he's ready to go to Harvard.
Yeah, I guess. But
the
I don't think he'll fit in.
Why aren't chicks and rock and roll enough for you, Mike?
Oh, man.
What are you going to do?
I mean,
do
seriously.
You know, I saw that movie Old School, and I just, you know, I just got this crazy idea. And it just.
What
just
are you going to be taking?
I'm going to be studying music. And,
I don't see the tie-in.
Yeah, there's some strange reason for that.
How long do you think the break's going to be? Do you know specifically? Or
well, I'm going to go to school for a year, and then you know we'll probably make a new record. I'd say sometime we'll probably start in the summer of 2009. That's when we'll start making a new album.
Does Harvard, what is their music program like? Is there not a name? I mean, I think, you know, the Berklee School in Boston. I think of other places that people go to learn music theory and appreciation and whatnot. But Harvard doesn't come to mind. What do they have there?
Well, their music program is more based on theory and composition. And then they have, like, you know, post-grad degrees like musicology and stuff like that.
But aren't you already ahead in that field? I mean, you've spent a lot of time doing music, doing it.
Yeah, playing in a rock band doesn't really necessarily have anything to do with knowing anything about music theory or composition or any stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm way out of my league here then.
Yeah, there are some definite parallels between those things, but they're also quite different in a lot of ways. But
so when you see guys like Billy Corgan or Paul McCartney or any number of other, I mean, God, Danny Elfman's the best example ever. You see guys like that, you understand why they want to do something other than rock and pop music. What's the attraction for doing classical music, right?
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily classical music. It's just a different, you know, the orchestras are made up of a lot of different instruments, and the music can be classical is a style of music, but orchestral music is just music played by an orchestra, and a lot of it is really aggressive and really really dissonant and really really complicated, and it's a really music's a big place, you know, and being in a rock band for such a long time, and I intend on continuing that for probably the rest of my life. But there's just a lot to explore in music outside of the, you know, the rock format. And
right. We are going to unfortunately, we have two things that we're talking about with Mike at the same time. Both are upcoming shows. We mentioned the VH1 Rock Honors, The Who, which I have many questions about, and we want to get into that more. But since we're on the orchestral tip right now, we should mention the End Vacuum show. Is that how you pronounce it, End Vacuum?
Well, yeah. It's spelled End period is greater than vacuum.
Yeah, it's strange.
I think we've lost Mike, and I'm going to read. I'm going to read from his website.
Okay.
And I want whatever you were smoking when you wrote this.
Now, this show is Saturday, August 23rd.
Yes.
UCLA Royce Hall in Westwood. Tickets are on sale August 1st at noon at Ticketmaster. Now, in Mike's own words, what's going on with End period greater than vacuum?
He talks about how he was forced for several months due to a wrist injury to do something else, and then he got into writing orchestra music. Simply stated, End Vacuum is a jagged collection of orchestral music I've been writing for the past year. A horrendously turbulent and at times serene oral interpretation of complex patterns and geometric shapes that assemble themselves firmly into my consciousness. A 40-minute...
What a dork!
Well, let him finish.
A 40-minute-long insomnia-induced orchestral anxiety attack.
Wow.
With the music will be performed in 9 movements by a group of musicians I am calling the Graviton Modern Assemble.
Ensemble.
Sorry, ensemble. To make this event even more heavenly, the first part of the program will consist of a lecture by my friend and esteemed British physicist, Dr. Brian Cox, who has done some particle accelerator research and is a world-renowned scientist who's a correspondent for the BBC.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means.
And then at the end of it, he says, all this could make for an amazing evening at UCLA, or it could be a train wreck. We'll all decide that together. Cheers, Mike.
Wow. It's going to be an event.
Who's the audience for a lecture by a British physicist followed by a realization in 9 movements? Well, who are you hoping to show up for this?
I'll be first in line.
Yeah, you'll be there?
I don't really know, to be perfectly honest. I really have no idea.
So you're really just going out on a limb here. You're just saying, I wanted to do something. I don't know how. And what's the whole, we're going to find out together? You haven't done it for smaller audiences or anything? You're just going to, first time you're going to unveil it is going to be UCLA?
Yes.
You're gutsy.
I really have no idea what is going to happen with it. I don't know if it's going to completely go over people's heads. I have no idea if anybody's going to show up.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you played, well, first of all, this 40 minutes of music that you're going to be, is that right? You're going to perform 40 minutes that night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like
How long did that take to write?
I've been writing it for the last year, kind of on and off, and you know, we've been on the road a lot, and so whenever I've had the opportunity to write, I've been writing.
Most people start that, I'm sorry, but you had a follow-up.
Has it been recorded?
No, uh-uh.
Interesting.
It exists in my mind.
Man, that's gutsy. Most people who start writing a different type of music than the music that they play kind of naturally go into another category and do it kind of that way. And you seem to just go, I don't know what it is, I'm not sure how to talk about it, but I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, I don't really know how to talk about it, actually. I've
That's why he's going to Harvard.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn how to speak and form sentences. That's what they're going to teach
about
me.
About music.
Yeah, exactly.
End Vacuum, Saturday, August 23rd. This could be the first and only time Mike ever gets us, cons us into giving him a place to put on a show like this.
Or the first of many.
It could be the first of many, right?
But you
know
what?
It could be Screw You Incubus after that night.
No, it's not. That's not going to
happen. For all we know.
That's not going to happen. But I am. There's a pre-sale thing going on that I wanted to let the audience out there know about, that they can sign up to get pre-sale tickets to the concert.
How do they do that?
Go to endvacuum.com.
How do they spell that? Is it just?
Just endvacuum.com.
There's two U's, people.
And there's a. Yeah, there's an opportunity to get tickets before they go on sale, which is...
And then they go on sale August 1st at noon at Ticketmaster.
Okay. Yes.
You're a brave man.
I'm all scared. Right, stupid. One of the two, or both.
That is a thing, too, that Mike has going on this summer for you. And we'll take a quick break and come back and talk some more about what's going on with Incubus and also about The Who and you being on the bill with the Foo Fighters, the Flaming Lips, and Pearl Jam this weekend. That is going to be a hell of a show.
I don't know how they let us on.
after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 929. We're going to take your phone calls next at 1-800-520-1067. It is Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. You call, we put you on the air, and we give you a prize.
And you're going to be the last people we talk to before the weekend, so don't suck, all right? Make it good. We'll give you a prize. So our guest this morning is Mike Einziger. He, of course, the guitarist for the band Incubus. And he's got a couple of things coming up. The End Vacuum Show that we just explained is at UCLA Royce Hall in Westwood. Tickets are going on sale to the public August 1st at noon at Ticketmaster outlets, or you can go to endvacuum.com for the opportunity for a presale. That one sounds like a cool night. Saturday night, tomorrow night, UCLA Poly Pavilion, Incubus is on the bill along with, oh, I don't know, Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, Flaming Lips, Tenacious D, all celebrating the music of The Who. How come your band wanted to be part of this, Mike?
Well, I think for pretty obvious reasons. The Who is kind of one of the most influential, important rock bands in history. And we were asked to take part in it, and we kind of... We're like, are you sure? Is there some kind of mistake?
Am I being punked?
Yeah, yeah. It's really a huge, massive, massive honor for us to be able to take part in something like that. And you know, we're coming to the end of 18 months of being on the road in support of our last record, Light Grenades, and what a way to sort of come to the end of that chapter, right? To do something like that. You know, we just played these massive concerts in Europe with Rage Against the Machine, and now we're playing with all these amazing bands honoring The Who, and it's kind of really a full circle for us.
Are you still at that point where you go, how am I involved in this whole thing? Or
every day
have been for a while.
Yeah, but it never wears off. It's like, you know, we were just a bunch of kids playing music in the garage just like everybody else, and the fact that we've been able to do what we've done
know Tenacious D is blowing your mind, right?
You feel like you're getting away with something?
When they find out the truth,
they're going to kick you out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no one ever thinks they're going to get out of the garage in Calabasas. Let's face it. You just feel like that place is sealed in. Now, what song or songs are you going to be performing tomorrow night?
We are playing the song I Can See for Miles. Oh. Perhaps you've heard of that one.
Sure, yes. Perhaps.
Golden hits.
A little ditty?
Yeah, it's awesome song.
Not ditty.
One of the most brilliantly produced records ever, too. If you ever listen closely to how many different things are going on in that song, it blows your mind when you hear it.
Yeah, some great harmonies and you know, the
studio tricks. Yeah. What could you tell us about, do you know anything else about the other guys and what the sets and what they're going to be like? How much music is going to be performed? I mean, is everybody coming out and doing one song, or is everybody doing only Who songs, or will you also do some of yours?
I think we're only playing Who songs. I don't really know how many songs the other bands are playing. We're probably playing, you know, less than the rest because we're not as cool as they are. But you know, I imagine that they're probably playing. They probably got to choose what songs they wanted to play. And the Who are going to play as well, I believe. So actually, we kind of got to pick whatever songs the Who weren't playing.
Have you met those guys before?
No, I've never met them, but I'm really looking forward to it. You know. Those are some pretty monumental musicians.
This is one of those situations, and I know I'm not in the majority, but I don't really care about The Who. But it's you guys and Pearl Jam and Foo Fighters and stuff that I want to see. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know that a lot of people feel that way, but I can see their place in history. I can see they're great.
But that's why these shows are great, though, is because you get they cater to both audiences. If you're a fan of The Who, you'll love it. If you're not, but you like these bands,
there's
something
for you.
So don't
watch when they're
playing. Pearl Jam's cover of Love Rain Over Me that they did last year is so great. I mean, they're a great band.
Is that
anyway,
a question or?
No. I'm just as a comment. I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying. Pearl Jam is one of the only band on the bill that I know of that has actually recorded a Who song, and I know how great that sounded. So I can't wait to see what they do tomorrow night. And again, the show is tomorrow night at UCLA, but it will air on Thursday for those of us that aren't going to be lucky enough to be in the audience. All right. Real quick before you go, Mike, people are emailing. They're saying, we got nervous. Mike's talking about this big break that Incubus is going to be taking. Will there be anything in between, any soundtrack songs coming out or B-sides album or anything like that that you're going to release for your fans while you're gone?
We have nothing planned right now. But, you know, at the end of every cycle of touring that we do, we've always taken time off, and this will actually be probably less time off than we took the last time.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I mean...
But you must get asked a million times every time somebody says time off, they go, oh, no,
hiatus or something like that. No, we,
it's code for breaking up.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a really long time, and we're not going to stop anytime soon. We're just...
But you do have to kind of recharge the batteries and do something else for a while. And by the way, it also helps the bands that just crank stuff out nonstop. A lot of times you kind of get tired of them beating your face, you know, every second of the day. It helps to go away for a little bit and come back and everybody be excited.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do.
Fantastic. All right, VH1 Rock Honors are tomorrow night. And it's going to air Thursday on VH1, if you'd like to see it at 9 o'clock. And the concert that we were talking about is End Vacuum. And it's going to be Saturday, August 23rd at UCLA Royce Hall in Westwood. Mike doesn't even know what it's going to come out like.
I don't.
I was asking him during the commercial. I was like, you don't even try it out in front of like a little audience?
You know what, though?
He's never played it. He doesn't know what it sounds like.
You know what, though? I could actually... I was thinking about this. I could actually put some type of like a small quartet or something together. We could do it here before the show if you want.
Fantastic. You mean in August?
Seriously? Yeah.
Maybe. I can pull it off.
We'd have to hear it first.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that would be cool. Yes. You mean before the August 23rd show?
Maybe.
That'd be awesome.
If I can pull it together.
Okay. Yes.
My head doesn't explode.
Well, we're going to say yes. Okay. We're going to go with yes on that. Awesome. Endvacuum.com if you would like to pre-sale. If you want to wait till tickets go on sale, they go on sale August 1st, which is a couple of weeks from now, I think on a Friday at noon at Ticketmaster. So there you go. Mike Einzinger, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you guys.
We appreciate it and best of luck. And we're looking forward to hearing that.
Thank you.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Apparently, a new shipment of Kevin and Bean t-shirts fell off a van or something. There's some talk that we now have them in stock, and that's what you win this morning for getting on the air with us for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Call now.
All right, let's begin with Jeremy, who is calling us. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning.
What to do?
How's it going? I just had a question for you guys.
Yes, please.
You know, I was listening to the retarded policeman.
Yep.
And, you know, he sounds a lot like Rodney on the Rock.
Yes is the answer to whatever your question is.
You know, yeah, I just was curious, you know, I mean.
Yes?
Yes? Okay.
Yes is the answer.
You're so gay.
Rodney doesn't have Downs, though. He had a stroke. I think that's the difference. They do sound alike, but I don't think technically he was born retarded.
Call
right?
me fabulous.
Call him fabulous.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate it. That's a good observation. Let's go to Gabriel in Hollywood. Good morning, Gabriel.
What up, dog? Hey, so we were on Reddit one day, and there was this headline on there that said, petition to make weed legal in California, and I got like 500 friends all looking for this petition. Does it really exist? I mean, do you guys know about it? Because I want to sign it. I voted in every election, and I think, you know, I can make, you know, my signature
make a difference, yeah.
I think that there is always a petition to make weed legal in California. It never goes anywhere. It never gets any kind of momentum. But I think there are a lot of people out there with, attempting a grassroots effort to make it so.
You know what the problem is, though, is they did the legal marijuana thing, and then but the federal government still comes in and busts people for it.
Yeah, it's still against federal law.
So it's state law, fine. Okay, federal law, not so fine.
Some parts of the state don't honor it. So.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I expected more from Governor Schwarzenegger based on his past history, by the way. He should have been the guy. He should have been the politician who is outside of the mainstream enough to say, look at what I've done in my life. Go ahead and let him smoke pot.
You think I wasn't high when I made the Last Action Hero?
Well, why
out of my brains?
Why haven't you then tried to make it legal?
Because I'm more concerned about my political life.
I
want to be president.
Really? Well, that's illegal right now.
Yeah, so is pot.
Okay.
When they make me president, then pot will be legal.
All right. If that's your promise, I'll vote for you.
I vote for you, too. Let's talk to Brandon. He is in Ventura, and he's on line 5 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brandon, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do? Okay, so the other day, I was at this massage parlor, right? Going for a massage. I wanted something normal. And the lady is, like, giving me the massage, acting normal. And she starts, like, rubbing my thigh. It felt kind of awkward. She has me turn over and start doing, like, my chest muscles. And she moves down and starts yanking on me. And I was like,
I'm not familiar with that term. Now, wait a minute. You said you went to a massage parlor and you went there for something normal?
A regular massage?
Yeah, I wanted a regular massage.
Okay. There are places you can go to where you know you'll get a regular massage.
Yeah, a massage parlor is not one of them.
No.
So what happens when she starts handling the business?
Well, I freaked out. And then she's like, you don't want an extra? And I'm like, well, no, I don't want a massage. And then she's like, and then she kind of just like stopped. And
did you make her cry? You did not make her cry, did you? Brandon,
could you mail us your balls when you get a chance since you're not using them?
Send them over.
Yeah, take away the woman's livelihood. Way to go, dude.
What guy was going to massage? He starts getting that thing. Whoa.
No.
Time out. I did not sign up for this.
Leave that alone.
His muscles were sore.
That's icky.
Go to Burke Williams or something, but you don't go down to Wang Sang's massage parlor.
Nope.
You made them cry. That's not okay.
He goes into a place called Sucky Sucky, and then he's complaining about the service that he gets. What's the deal? All right, let's try line two, the great city of Glendale. Lewis is on the phone, or Louie, whichever. Hey, Lou, what's up?
What's up, guys? What happened to Sustainable Dave this month? You guys are slacking.
Sustainable Dave!
Please don't bring that up.
Sustainable
Please.
Dave!
Wow.
Please. Dude, it's well, it's the, what, the 11th?
Yeah. It's too late. It's too late to talk to him for this month. We may have to save it till August.
I'll give you a quick update. He sure has a lot of garbage in his basement. It's sure piling up. Boy, his wife, she sometimes questions why she married him. And the kids are unhappy. There you go. Enjoy.
We accept your scorn. We made a mistake, and we will try to make that better.
All right, let's close with, let's talk to Steve in HB. He's on line six. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, guys? How you doing, Lisa May?
Good.
What's going on?
So check this out. Last night I was watching the news, and there's two commissioners, a white guy, which is Ken Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about central collections, and he's saying that the black hole. Well, during this part, John Price, which is a black man, goes really loud and interrupts and goes, excuse me. You know, he's all, maybe it's a white. So after, you know,
Wait a minute. The black guy was upset that the black hole is called a black hole? Because he's black?
Was he being funny?
I don't understand. You're talking about black holes in space? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he was using that as an analogy, saying, hey, the whole collection agency has so much paperwork, it's cluttered, it's now a black hole. So the black guy gets offended, you know, and he comes out with that. Later along, he says, you know, it should be a white hole, blah, blah, blah. It's a derogatory statement. So we have Judge Jones, which is also a black man. He comes back and he says, hey, you know, I demand you guys give an apology for this racially insensitive.
What
kind of show are you watching?
So the judge said, yes, a black hole is derogatory?
Yes, he was. He was sitting in.
Exciting story.
What? I think there's the basis of this is a really good story, but Steve is incapable of getting it to us.
There is a nugget. There's a nugget of something interesting here, but he's blowing it on every level. Look.
Thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, you can't tell a f***ing story. The relentless tedium of your story is making us all sick. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show would rather plunge heavy gauge sewing needles into our eyes than listen to you for one moment longer. But please continue to hold, and one of our semi-competent representatives will be on the line to give you a prize of little to no value. Once again, thank you for calling Kevin and Bean, but please never, never call us again.
Shane, too. That's it sounded like a good story.
Yeah.
It sounded like a great story, actually.
Yes. I'd like to hear more about it from someone else. All right. Before we go, we have one tiny bit of business we need to do. We have another grand prize drawing that we need to make. Or earlier today, we called the winner who's going to be taking the helicopter to the Mayhem Festival this weekend. But right now, best seat in the house for the Maloof Money Cup, the world's greatest skateboarding competition. We entered you all week long at this time, and now we're going to call our grand prize winner.
If your cell phone's ringing, I don't know. Pick it up. By the way, Monday, Gerard Way.
No way!
No way! Stop it. He, of course, lead singer of My Chemical Romance. He's got a new comic book coming out. Plus, who's a 10? What woman do you think is a 10? There have to be some
10s. Oh, a 10.
Lisa.
That's coming up.
Yeah, well, me.
Lisa's the standard, right?
Everyone's below that.
Voice message system.
Okay, good.
0.
Blah, 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 blah.
Let's put it on the air. Why not?
0.
Oh, we got sued last time.
5, 6 is not available. To page this person,
just want to leave a message.
Now.
Just let us leave a message. Would like to leave a message. Thank you. Lee Garcia of Los Angeles, congratulations. You are going to be sitting on some kind of a throne in the middle. I don't quite understand it. In the middle of the Maloof Cup this weekend. But you won it here on K-Rock, and you qualified, and you have the best seat in the house. And congratulations.
Lucky dog.
Answer your phone.
Thanks for picking up the phone. Thanks to our special guest, Selma Blair, an actress in Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, opening everywhere today. Looks terrific. Also, of course, you heard all the information from our friend Mike Einzinger from Incubus. Go to his website, Enjoy Incubus, for details on everything that's coming up with Mike. And, of course, thanks to Greg and Josh and Scott, all from The Retarded Policeman. MediocreFilms.com or go to the Kevin and Bean video section for all the episodes of The Retarded Policeman. The best thing on the internet.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. So check that out. We will see you on Monday morning. Have a great weekend. Gerard Way on the show on Monday. I don't know if we mentioned
that. No way!
wait.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Buy some pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm so high.
Roll another one.
Smoke weed.
Just like the other one.
We smoke too many pot.
This one seems to be about the queen.
Marijuana.
Delicious.
I need another hit.
Pam Anderson?
The beautiful Kat Corbett, in fact, not Pam Anderson.
Pam Anderson?
Coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. The new one from Weezer is called Troublemaker. That's included. Linkin Park, Nirvana, Foo Fighters, Muse, and more. Straight ahead on K-Rock.
Anna.
Roll another one.
My mom loves to rock.
Just like the other.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
I don't have another cent.
I'd love to. Now introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
But don't bogart that joint.
God damn it, I love mine.
Just pass it around.
I'm looking to score some drugs.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Smoke weed every day.
I just pass it.
Failed conclusively. It's over. And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
La 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 la. Go away. I will be gone by the end of the day. Get out of my face.
Thank you, and screw you.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
This is it. We've had enough.
I need a break.